Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Dadon Tolbert Show. I am your host, Dadon Tolbert. Still a little under the weather, which is why we have been not live for, what was it, Courtney, about a week and a little over a week now, so about a week and a half. So, but I am here, you know what I mean? I started about taking this week off again, but there's so much going on. There's so much we have to talk about. There's so many things in the news. There's a lot of current events, and I feel out of the loop. I feel like you guys aren't getting that information. So we're back live tonight after a week of all-time classic rebroadcast. Tonight's show is obviously brought to you by Tolbert Relationship Counseling. Visit trctoday.com for more information if you guys need any type of assistance. Courtney, it's been a minute. What's going on with you? You good?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm here. You know what I mean? I'm good. It's weird, man. I get these. It's funny. I remember last year around this time, I took some time off just because I'm allergic to pollen. You know, I play tennis season starts, and then I get out there, play a couple matches, and then it just hits me. And so I'm always like, you know, it's like I think this year the allergies turned into a cold or maybe even the flu. So I was out of it. The blessing in that, the Bible says to, in all things, give thanks. And so that week really was a very productive week. Even though I couldn't talk, I was just like in bed. I got a chance to watch a lot of, you know, it was that Monday that it really hit me, which, obviously, guys, was the Boston bombings. So tonight's show is really going to be nothing other than that. Okay, we're going to talk about that. There are a lot of details. There is a lot of information that has been blatantly and conspicuously left out of the mainstream media's coverage of this tragedy. And it's interesting because while I was out for that week, that was the week. That Monday for the following Monday is when everything happened. So, you know me, I'm into that type of stuff. So I'm sitting up there literally glued to the television set, glued to CNN. My wife will probably tell you, I literally was down in the man cave. I was in the office. I was literally just doing that. Getting some stuff on the computer, but really just in tune to what was being said, what was being shown. And the basis of, or one of the main things we're going to talk about tonight, one of the directions I want to go in is the inconsistencies that were reported from day one up until the quote-unquote capture of the suspects. Because when I'm talking about like from even when like Colorado hit, ever since then, what I do when I turn on the news, when the television programming gets interrupted, I press record on my DVR. So I have all the coverage from start to finish. And if you guys are watching it from day one when it happened, you know a lot of stuff that was reported on day one is absolutely different from what the story is today. So I just want to talk about that a little bit. I know there's some other outlets out there that are reporting, and I'm glad that they're there. But for the most part, people are relying on CNN, NBC, Fox News, you know, to get what happened. And I don't feel as though that's right because there's a lot to it, and we're going to talk about it though. But Courtney, what are your thoughts on that tragedy, this situation going on in Boston?
It's just so obvious that the government is really behind it all. I really don't believe, I know for a fact, you know, those two brothers, they had nothing to do with it. I really, in my heart, believe that they were framed. And, you know, the reason being is just so many, like you said, inconsistencies. And, you know, they conveniently won't allow one of the brothers to talk. Didn't they say there was something wrong with his throat or something?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, continue. What were you saying?
No, go ahead.
Well, yeah, and it's just like, that's just so funny that all that stuff is happening. And then I've been watching, like, videos and stuff, and, you know, the family knows the truth. Like, the family will tell you, like, you know, they would never do that, and they were framed. And it's just really crazy. And like you said, you cannot rely on the news because they are trying to create this picture because they're trying to get us to go to war. But a lot of people aren't looking at it that way. They trust and believe everything they see on CNN, and you can't do that.
Right. One of the things I want to do, you know, I was just laughing at, you know, you're right. That's how it goes. And I said online earlier today that it's almost comical how many people will, you know, look at, you know, anything outside of what the mainstream media is reporting that will be labeled as a conspiracy theory. That will be labeled as you're anti-American. Well, who says that CNN, that NBC, that Fox News is the authority of what is the truth? You know what I mean? I mean, if anybody knows how the world works, it's certainly how this country works. You know, it should be clear by now that the government has 100% control of the media. And we're even going to talk about some of these new laws that have been passed over the last couple weeks. You know, coincidentally, during the ruckus and all the confusion going on with these bombings, Congress didn't take any time off. They didn't take any. They're busy passing laws, you know, getting regulations approved, you know, signing policies and different things that aren't getting reported on, because every time you turn on your news that everybody relies on, they're talking about Boston. Now, is there a connection between some of the most, probably one of the most controversial laws in the history of government was passed the week of the Boston bombings? Just like another coincidence. Now, and again, we're just going to call it coincidence and get your fingers up, you know, and do the little quotation marks. We're going to say coincidence like that, because when I say coincidence, just like in with the Aurora shooting, the Colorado shooting, that actually took place during the week. A lot of people don't know this. There was a big debate about gun control. There still is. But that's kind of when everything really heated up. Well, a lot of people don't realize that the biggest international gun convention that involved just about every major country in the world, I don't have the name of it in front of me, but if you guys Google it, it actually took place the week of the Aurora, Colorado shooting. A lot of people don't know about that. They don't know about, and again, this is history. This isn't like, you know, theory. This is a fact. The largest international gun, I don't even want to call it a convention, but it involved multiple countries, all the most influential countries in the world, all coming together in one place to talk about, really, to be honest with you, a new world order, how they're developing some form of uniform gun control policy. And do your own research on that particular convention, which took place the week of the Colorado shooting. You know, as you know, the gun debate kind of gained a lot of fuel after that shooting. That's when Obama jumped on board. That's when the people started saying, oh, we've got to do something with guns because people are getting killed. Anyway, we're not going to sugarcoat anything tonight. You guys know me. That's not what we do. If anybody thinks that's a coincidence, the largest mass shooting, you know, in a situation like that in United States history, and then you got, you know, the largest international gun convention in the history of the world the same week. I mean, Courtney, I don't know. I mean, does that seem a little coincidental to you? I'm sorry, Courtney. Go ahead.
Now, I was just going to say, yeah, that's just a huge coincidence. But it's crazy, though, that, I shouldn't say crazy, but, you know, that all of that happened, and then when the Aurora shooting happened, the government tried to turn around and act like, oh, yeah, we need to get this under control, as if they didn't have that big convention prior to that.
And people don't even talk about the convention.
Yeah.
People don't even talk about the convention, and they don't talk about a lot of things, but we're going to get into that. So understand, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Don't worry. You know, I'm back. We're not going to – this is probably the long – if you guys are newer listeners, this is not common. You know what I mean? We probably – we're used to doing maybe 2-3 live shows a week. You know, I've never gone a week and a half without being live. I was literally – I felt like I was on my deathbed last week. Like, I was done. But it's all good. God is good. You know what I'm saying? And I'm back. We're going to probably – I want to come back either tomorrow or for a live Keeping It Real Fridays. I'll keep you posted on that because we're going to have some fun. But tonight, this is a serious show. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that we got to talk about, Courtney. We got to talk about that DMX interview. You know what I mean? Everybody's been talking about it. I wondered – that was right before I got sick. We got to talk about that. We want to talk about, obviously, this new season of Love & Hip Hop. There's just a lot of current events, a lot of things of that nature that need to be discussed. So but like I said, tonight we are going to be focusing on the Boston bombing. We're going to talk about the two suspects, Jokar and Tamaris Tsarnaev, and just kind of some of the details surrounding them, their past, things that they've been into that you guys may not have known about. We're just going to talk about it. You guys are always welcome to, as always, call in anytime we're live, 646-200-0366. Hit the number 1 on your keypad. And, you know, like I said, I know this is a hot topic. A lot of people have a lot of opinions about it. Feel free to, express yourself. There was a lot of debate, a lot of talk online over the last couple weeks on my different pages that I manage, so feel free to kind of weigh in on those subjects. We'll go to the phone lines in a little bit, but I just want to kind of give you guys some background information. First, where do I even want to start? I'll start here. I learned about propaganda at a very young age. A lot of schools don't really teach that in detail nowadays. I was blessed and fortunate to go to one of the best schools in the country, which really spent a good deal of time talking about the government, talking about and really just propaganda and what it is and how the government uses it to further their agenda, whatever it is at that particular time. What is propaganda? Propaganda is, Courtney, if I asked you, what describe Iraq to me? What does Iraq look like? When you think of Iraq, what's one of the first things that comes to mind?
9/11.
When you think about the geographical landscape of it, what does it look like?
I just think just third world country, just a whole lot of land.
Right, land, desert, right?
Desert, yeah.
Right. When you think about Africa, what do you think of?
I think of safari. I think of animals. I mean, I'm going to be honest.
Right.
I think of the animals, the forest,
Right, exactly. And that's what most people think about. That's what we've all thought about. Anyone who says otherwise is lying. Unless you've actually been to Africa, unless you've actually been to Iraq. The reality is that's what they want you to think of. When you think of Iraq, they automatically have conditioned us as people to think of 9/11, to think of Muslims, to think of terrorists, to think of extremists. That's what they want because that furthers public opinion in regards to supporting the United States going to war. When the public associates a war with freedom and terrorism, you don't have protests the way you had back in the day when people were protesting the war in Vietnam because there was no reason to be there. And the United States learned a very valuable lesson from Vietnam. The public outcry and the protest for us to leave Vietnam was such that they said, okay, because what you guys need to understand, war is good. We may not like it. But as far as the economy, as far as the people who are getting rich, war is very good. As far as building legacies, as far as, people, really legacies, presidencies and how you will be remembered, okay? I mean, that's where like Obama, he wants a war. George Bush, he will be known for the president who took us to war and avenged or started the avenging process of 9/11. You know, nobody's thinking about Bush as the it's messing up the economy. I mean, it's a joke. People talk about it, but that's not really how George Bush will go down as being remembered. He will be remembered as the guy who took us to war against the people who, quote unquote, tore down the towers. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. Obama is now positioning himself. Okay, understand it. Don't get it twisted. You know, all this other stuff that him and Michelle are talking about, don't get it twisted and think it's about anything other than building a legacy, okay? It's a and that is why all of a sudden there's this, they're building it up. They're making a case for us to go to war. Courtney, on the Tuesday of the week of the Boston bombings, you were probably at work. But
yeah, it was.
Did you hear about an interview that Barack Obama did on the Today Show talking about North Korea?
No, I didn't. What did he state in the interview?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question right there. What did he state? What was he talking about? I actually saw. Like I told you, I was in bed, man. I was drugged up. I was under the covers, but I had that DVR. I had that remote control. I had my dog right there next to me keeping me company. I was good. And, you know, I was watching the Today Show, and it was like, wow. You know, it was like nonstop coverage on the Boston bombings. But the Today Show, they did an interview with Obama. And he wasn't even it was on that Tuesday. It's probably on YouTube. Although I wouldn't be surprised if it's not. But it was an interview talking about the escalating tensions between us and North Korea. And I forget, it wasn't Katie, it was a guy, I forget who exactly was doing it. It was actually a female, now I think about it. But long story short, they were asking him, like, yo, like, what do you think is, you know, how far away are we from war with North Korea? And if Barack Obama actually said in this interview on the Today Show that he said he wouldn't be surprised if we're only a couple weeks away from war. They actually, you know how they try to give that politically correct response, but they kind of led him in that question. They were like, well, so would you say it's, you know, we're a couple weeks? He said, I don't think that would be unrealistic to, you know, something like that. Can you believe that?
Yeah. That's the whole goal.
Right. He basically said and confirmed that we are, understand what I'm saying to you, 2 weeks away from war with North Korea. He just snuck that on up in there. That's not something that you sneak up in there. If things are so bad, you know what I'm saying, and tensions are that high, that needs to be the front page story. Like, yo, we're 2 weeks away from war. They got nukes. We got nukes. World War III could happen next week. And Obama did not even deny it. He pretty much said, well, look, hey, they're doing some things that are just absolutely – and he built the case, too. One of the things he said on that interview was like, yo, you know, things are – you know, they've been doing things. Even he talked about his father. He talked about his grandfather and the things that they've done throughout, you know, historically, you know, to kind of position themselves in an aggressive manner. You know what I'm saying? He just kind of said, look, it's – the buck stops here. Like, I'm sick of it. And so I'll tell you where I'm going with all this. They're positioning themselves to go to war. Wars are very profitable for the people who really run this country. The people who are, you know, behind the scenes. The people who are responsible for the defense contractors. Billions of dollars. Don't get it twisted and think, oh, this is some type of recession. We might be in a recession, but the rich are getting richer. The billionaires are making more billions. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And the people who are signing so many contracts that are going out there, I mean, whether it's private security over there in Iraq, whether it's, you know, construction companies who are rebuilding Iraq, because you guys know that's, you know, that's like the United States now. Like, we basically own them. Did you know that, Courtney?
No, I didn't, but I'm not surprised.
That's our territory now.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys got to realize that this, you know, this whole process of imperialism, you guys don't know about imperialism, really do some research on that's something that's been in effect for hundreds of years. It's every major ruler, and understand that's what we have here. This is Obama is a ruler. This is not a democracy, guys. It may seem like it's one, but it's really not. Not like you think. You know, every major ruler, whether Napoleon, whether, I mean, Constantine, I mean Hannibal, I mean, we could go on and on about the great rulers of throughout the course of history. They've all had a plan. Alexander the Great. These guys have all had a plan to expand their territory, to take over the world. That's what these people want to do. They want the United States specifically wants their influence to stretch as far as possible. Okay? So when you see us, you know what I'm saying, like going out and venturing over to Iraq, well, how do you do that? How do you make a case to take over a country that really has done nothing to you? Well, you say, okay, well, Saddam Hussein has done X, Y, and Z. He's this type of tyrant. He's done this, that, and to his people. He's doing this and that. And then, the straw that broke the camel's back was, quote-unquote, 9/11, or not even 9/11. It was really weapons of mass destruction. That was the real reason why we invaded them. It wasn't even so much 9/11 as much as it was the blatant lie. The blatant lie. People say, I don't think the government, we can trust them. We got a black president. What do you mean? They distort the facts.
What does that mean?
Whatever they want to do. Right. They blatantly lie. And see, when I say that, I mean, George Bush and his people are the same people who control Obama. There's no difference. Bush, the presidency changed. Okay? We changed presidents. But the people who Bush dealt with, interacts with, have been in power for years. They're the same people his father did business with. They're the same people Obama does business with. They're the same people the next president will do business with. There's no, you know, and then when they die or they step down, or I mean, somebody, their people will take that on. There's no change. Yes, the presidency changed, but the system remains the same. The system. The CIA, the FBI, the quote-unquote Federal Reserve, whatever the heck that is, you know what I mean? That fallacy, like, you know what I'm saying? You know, that's been corrupt for decades. So please, like, you know, take your heads out of the sand if you think that things all of a sudden changed because we've got a different president in office. Nothing changed. In fact, things got worse, and things will continue to get worse as we look ahead to moving closer and closer and closer to the Book of Revelations, because that's what we're moving towards. So what I'm saying to you guys is North Korea, all right? North Korea is very much so on the United States radar. Okay, when you think of North Korea, you think of, you know, this short guy, this little bastard that the United States wants to portray him to be. You know what I mean? Dennis Rodman went over there, had a great time laughing, going to basketball games, chilling. And we are trying to portray them as being these negative, you know, people who really want the worst for us. And that's what I mean by propaganda. I asked Courtney, what do you think about when you think about Africa? She said jungles. Anyone who knows anything about Africa is beautiful. You know, Iraq is beautiful. These are beautiful places. Africa is not even a country. It's a continent. It's a huge, you know what I'm saying? It's huge. There's so many different beautiful countries within Africa. You understand that, guys? It's not a jungle. You know what I'm saying? That's like saying, that's like going to the zoo and thinking that Philadelphia is one big zoo. You know, no, that's the zoo. Yes, there are jungles in Africa. Guess what? There are jungles in Hawaii, too. That doesn't mean there aren't cities, there aren't businesses. Go to wherever city you live in. Go to downtown, whatever, Chicago, Philadelphia, California, wherever you live. That's what Africa looks like, and they're downtown.
Right.
Did you ever think about that, Courtney?
Yeah, I actually just recently found that out. Like, honestly, I really didn't know, because I was just going off of what I saw on TV, because I, like you said, I used to think it was like jungles, but, you know, I have a friend that traveled and to Africa, and she showed me pictures of, like, downtown South Africa, and it was like, it looked like a regular city, like New York or something, and I didn't even know that, and I was so ignorant of that, because that's not how it's portrayed.
Right,
so.
Right. And propaganda, it really does stretch a long way. What they'll do is, I've talked about this before, but just in the context of tonight's show, you guys know with this whole war, you know that the media is not allowed, literally not allowed to show dead bodies of American soldiers. Did you know that, Courtney?
Not until I saw you post that. I didn't know that before, no.
Yeah, we talk about that on a regular basis here, and a lot of people, they don't understand that. Like, it's not even a question. I took a class in college on media ethics, and I learned a lot about the media. And, you know, you go over to Iraq, you see people protesting and people rioting in the streets and doing different things. That's just a particular section, you know, a small – I mean, it's not even how people think. Like, I have Muslim friends from Pakistan, and I know people from Egypt and, you know, people who've actually been to Iraq in the military, and they tell me, like, yo, it's nothing like what you see on TV. I'm like, really? I'm like, but, you know, I've known this for a while, but when I first heard about it, I'm like, wow, that's crazy, because let the media tell, let CNN tell it. You think that everybody hates us, you know, you think that people is just this third world countries, like Courtney said. I mean, it's really what they want you to see. Okay, so understand that. So there's that. Now, I want to talk about. Let's get back to Boston, because I'm setting the stage. I wanted to give you guys some background information on what is going on and why a lot of these quote unquote tragedies are happening. Because this is what you're not going to see. You're not going to see CNN break down the big picture. They're going to tell you, okay, this is what happened here, or this is what we want you to think happened here. You know, and anybody who thinks, and just let's just be clear about this. So it's no, you know, so everyone's clear and, you know, on the same page. I've said it, and anyone who thinks that Al-Qaeda, however you want to pronounce it, was ultimately responsible for the World Trade Center, for 9/11, is grossly misinformed. That's not a conspiracy theory. At this point, you know, over 10 years later, it should be obvious. You know what I mean? Watch some of these, I mean, 9/11, excuse me, I'm sorry, Fahrenheit 9/11, you know, directed by Michael Moore. There's countless sources of information that we won't even get into today that really illustrate the backstory as to what really happened. You know, and it's not just 9/11. You know, you look at a lot of people think JFK was just killed by some random guy. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. No, he wasn't killed by a random guy. Martin Luther King wasn't killed by James Earl Ray. You know what I'm saying? Abraham Lincoln was not just assassinated by some racist, you know, randomly. No, that's not how this stuff works. Malcolm X was not, you know, believe it or not, it wasn't just the Muslims that killed him. I know a lot of people find that hard to believe. You know what I'm saying? You really got to look into this stuff. You got to really look at the backstory. You got to look at the reasoning behind a lot of this stuff. Okay? And you know, and I know it is uncomfortable to think because it goes against what you know and what you've been taught. But if you are able to think outside the box, you know what I'm saying? It really all makes perfect sense. Because when you really look at the facts for a lot of stuff, there's a reason why Aurora happened. There's a reason why Joe Carr will never speak. There's a reason why his brother was killed. You know what I mean? Ran over by his brother while he was trying to get away. Does that even sound right, Courtney?
No.
His brother ran him over? That's how he died?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
There are reasons for these things, and our government, I'm just telling y'all this stuff so you know, none of this stuff should surprise you. When you think of the government, I mean, really think about what this means. The government, our government today, is the same government that was okay with slavery. Not only okay, but that instituted slavery and fought to keep us in slavery. A lot of the people in this quote-unquote government still have Confederate flags in their car windows. Members of government down south, whether it's like Mississippi, Alabama, you know what I'm saying, Georgia, a lot of those quote-unquote politicians, they wish the South would have won the Civil War. If the South, I mean, see, that's the thing, you don't really hear this stuff in school like that. But a lot of people don't realize, if the Civil War would have gone a different way, we'd still be in slavery. We'd still be in segregation. I mean, you know that, right, Courtney?
Yeah, most definitely.
There are people who wanted us to still be in slavery. People still in office today. People who interact with Obama today. Democrats, Republicans. This is our government. And when you try to tell people, and these are like, you know, you try to tell people like, yo, you know, the government isn't on our side. This is not like, okay, look, the government is for us. Just as we got a black president, the government is now, it cares about black people. No, it doesn't. In fact, it's set up to, it's not even a black or white thing. It's about a rich or poor thing. And just historically, blacks and minorities in general have represented the poor part of the population, and white people have represented the, you know, the rich part of the population, and those are the people who historically turn out to vote and influence certain things and pay a higher tax bracket and make certain people rich. So when you can make certain people rich, then things are going to go your way. But when you can't make nobody rich, nobody cares about you. And historically, it's been the minorities who have had little to no power. But why do you think, you know, Jay-Z and, you know, Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey and, you know, all these other African-Americans have been accepted? The, you know, Obamas, the people who play the game, you know, it's cool because they count. They are in that higher tax bracket. I mean, it's in a lot deeper than that, but we'll keep it on that level for right now. You know what I'm saying? Money talks. So when you have money, you have a say. When you have no money, you have no say. Why do you think the white public school system is different, I'll say different, than the black public school system? It's not because of race. It's because of economics. I mean, who cares about people who have no money? You're not going to put money into people who cannot pay you back they can't benefit you in any way. Those rich white people, see, I used to go to school with the rich white people who pay the high taxes, who give hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars back in donations and charities. Well, they can pay you back. They can. You're going to get a return there. So, yeah, let's put some money. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. What's Tyrone going to, what's Tyrone's parents going to do, you know, over in the inner city of Chicago? What's he going to do for the Bush family?
Nothing.
He can't do anything.
Nothing.
So why invest $1 billion to make give Tyrone an education? How's he going to pay us back later on?
Right. Won't be able to.
He won't be able to. Now, is that right? No, it's not right. But I mean, this is how it goes. This is their way of thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, and we need to understand that. So a lot of these things that come along, that these policies, these laws, these practices, they come from a warped way of thinking. Slavery, I mean, Jim Crow, the civil rights movement. You know, these laws that are, I'm telling you all this so you understand when I speak about the government is not your friend. Government is not on your side. Obama is not on your side. You know what I mean? I know that's hard for a lot of people to get. Just like Bush wasn't on your side, Obama's not on your side. The same people who gave Bush money gave Obama money. The same favors Bush owed, Obama owes those same favors. The next president will owe those same favors. But guess what, guys? These corporations have been around for hundreds of years. Corporations don't change. The views of corporations don't change. Who they give their money to does not change. The same people who gave money to Clinton gave money to Bush and gave money to Obama. They're called super PACs. Why do you think super PACs are now confidential? Because they don't want you to know the fact that, hey, look, all the money's getting split, sent around to the same people. That's why, it's, you know what I'm saying, you're not allowed, there are people who want that to change. But that's how that works. A lot of people don't understand how politics works. You listen to the show from time to time, we'll tell you how politics really works. All right? You guys, you can't claim to know about politics when you never heard of the Bilderberg Group. You can't claim to know about politics when you have no idea what Bohemian Grove is. These are things you won't hear on CNN, but believe, trust simply, Google Bilderberg Group, and then tell me that Obama is not, you know, down with the same people that Bush was down with. Understand? There's a reason why Bin Laden's family, his ancestors, his cousins, his uncles were chilling and are and to this day have a very close relationship with all presidents. See, a lot of people don't know about that. A lot of people don't know. That's why I say watch Fahrenheit 9/11. You know what I'm saying? Look at the connection between the Bin Ladens, between a lot of these people from the Middle East, you know, and the rich people here that really, the influential people of this country. Do you know how much of a connection that there really is, Courtney?
It's a huge connection. It's crazy because, you know, when you look at it, you view it on the news, they try to make it seem like, okay, well, you know, they're our enemies and, you know, they're the bad guys. But it's funny, like, everyone is playing the same game. You know, they're all acting. It's just acting. And they're all making money off of it. And
right.
A lot of people don't know that.
Right. A lot of people don't realize that. They don't know it. They don't see it because it's not reported. CNN, it's amazing. It's weird. And you really got to pray about this stuff. All jokes aside, guys, you really got to pray. You know, if you guys are believers, if you're Christians, if you love Jesus Christ, you really got to take some time and say, you know what, I hear what Dayton is talking about. I'm going to do some research on my own. But at the end of the day, God, I want you to speak to me. I want you to give me that discernment as to what is real and what's not. Okay? And I promise you, if anybody does that, any believer, anyone who loves God, you do that and he will unconditionally, he will show you what is going on out here. And it'll be amazing to you. I can literally look at these people on CNN when they're talking, and it's just like the Snoopy people. It's like, wah, 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 wah. And it's like they're lying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could just look at somebody and be like, yo, you're lying.
Yeah, it's crazy. Just where, you know, being, just learning and just listening to you, and shout out to Nakia, even though she's not on the show, but learning from you guys, it's really helped, and God has shown me some things as well, and I've just been able to see it. It's like, wow, this is just a big joke.
And that's how they look at it. It's like a big joke. Obama's sitting chilling today throwing up 666s. You know what I mean? Like in an interview, he's like walking around just like throwing it up. I'm like, yo, what the heck are you doing? Like, blatantly, I'm like watching it. I took a picture. I didn't get a chance to post it. I'm posting in the group. Shout out to Nakia. I told Nakia I was going to chill, but I can't chill on some of this stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's like obvious. Just walking around, walking down the you know what I'm saying? Just literally throwing up a 666, like, on purpose. Like, for no reason. Like, who walks around, Courtney, just like that? Do you do that?
No one throws up that sign just to do it. Like, I don't care what people say, oh, that's the okay sign. Nobody does that.
Right. He wasn't even, but like, and that's the thing. A lot of nowadays people will do it while they're talking. He wasn't even talking. He was just walking. He was just walking, like, walking. I'm like, yo. I'm like, yo,
are
what are
you
doing? He's just walking.
No.
I got it on. Yo, I'm watching the news this morning. I took a picture of my TV with my camera phone. And he's just chilling. You guys just going to blow your mind. I'm posting right after the show. You know, that's what I'm saying. So look, let's talk. Let's keep it moving. Because I do want to talk about the specifics of this Boston bombing. Okay, stuff that you're not going to see. A lot of times people don't look, they don't understand, like I told you earlier, these laws, these policies, these regulations that are being passed in the midst of the confusion. Let's talk about CISPA. What is CISPA? A lot of people have been hearing different things. Not from the news, but, you know what I'm saying, you know, just like maybe online articles, because the news isn't talking about it. That's not what they want to report. But CISPA, which is an acronym for the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act, okay? Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act. entitled TISPA, and this is a law that has been trying to they've been trying to get passed for quite some time. See, understand, guys, you know, if you really read Revelations and you know what is coming, you know, we're going to all be operating under a uniform totalitarian government, you know, a new world order, basically. One currency, one big military, which is, you know, encompasses the entire world. It's going to be like one joint group of individuals that control the money, that control the military, and that's just going to be what's called the new world order. You know, and if you are not down with that, you know, you will be left out of the loop. You will, you know, there will be that chip, which, you know, the RFID chip, which is, in, you know, biblically known as the mark of the beast. That's what's coming. And in doing that, that's why there's this whole, you got to, we're getting down to crunch time. Let me just tell y'all something. We're getting to crunch time. These are the in-depth times, the end of days. And so they've got to get the ball rolling. They've got to get us towards that new world order. That's why you just saw Obama. That's why you just saw the Pope. That's why Bush and Bush's father, they've all publicly spoken. I was watching a video the other day. It was a compilation of all these influential leaders basically co-signing the New World Order, co-signing what the Bible describes as the coming of the end of the world. Obama said we must prepare the next generations for a New World Order. Obama's okay with that. A Christian who's okay with the New World Order. How about that? I mean, I'm just, does that seem real to you?
Oh, well, I mean, that it is what it is. We already know what he's about and his agenda. So, yeah.
The Pope, okay with the New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. But, you know, it is what. So what I'm saying to you is they've got to get the ball rolling. So what I'm trying to tell you all is there will be a totalitarian government. There will be the New World Order. There will be – but to get you to that, you got to disarm the people. You can't have a totalitarian government where the government controls everything and we have no rights, but the government still has all these semi-assault rifles. You know what I'm just telling – that's just – that would not make sense. You know what I'm saying? You can't – so that's the goal. A lot of other countries are a lot further ahead in that plan than the United States are. Like, you know, Australia and, you know, it's a lot of other countries. I believe England, you can't even have guns. They have disarmed the people. Can't even carry guns. That's not where we are. There are certain states now where you can at least have a handgun, but this whole, they're banning assault rifles and things like that. So, and they're going to be taking them away. Because you're not allowed to have them, you know. It's gonna come in stages. I'm not saying it's gonna happen tomorrow, but they're starting to get the ball rolling. They're gonna take all the guns because you can't go nowhere with them. You can't go to the range with them. So if they know you have them, that's why you got to register them. So eventually, they're gonna just start recalling them and coming to get your guns. That's where all the people are getting so mad about. They want to take our guns away. You know what I'm saying? But this is, you know, shout out to Nakia. She posted a lot of stuff, you know, about this in the group. And there's a lot, there's so much more. They're not only they're taking guns away, they're building coffins. But I don't even want to get, a lot of people don't even know about that.
Yeah,
you know,
Did you ever hear about that? No.
Yo, Nakia, if you're listening, you know what I'm saying, and most likely she is, you know, she post a couple more of those videos in the group. I'm talking about the videos that show thousands and thousands and thousands. I'm talking about up in North Dakota. I'm talking about up in Wisconsin. These hidden places that nobody really knows about, like these fields. They have entire fields that have been filled with coffins, like these cheap plastic, like inexpensive coffins. Where there's going to be some changes. There's going to be a revolution. There's going to be a civil war. When you take the guns, people are not going to go quietly. And there's a lot of stuff going on here. That's what I'm saying. Watch these videos. There's so much information out there that you will not see in the traditional mainstream media. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. That doesn't mean it's not happening. It just means we don't know about it unless you, if all you watch is your evening news, if all you watch is your Facebook timeline. That's some people's news right there, Facebook. That's how they get their news, see what people are talking about. Some people don't even watch the news, let alone, you know, do research on what's actually happening out here. That's a shame. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, you know, we'll continue to talk about this stuff. But so CISPA, what is CISPA? The Central Intelligence Sharing Protection Act. What does it do? And I'm going to read you. I posted a little brief explanation. I'm just going to read it. It says that CISPA would allow for voluntary information sharing between private companies and the government in the event, and this is where you throw up your little quotes, in the event of a cyber attack. If the government detects a cyber attack that might take down, say, Facebook or Google, for example, they could notify those companies. At that same time, though, Facebook and Google could inform the federal government if they notice unusual activity on their networks that might suggest a cyber attack. Now, understand, Facebook is one of the largest organizations, you know, out there that has more, they have probably the most private information about people on a large scale than anyone out there. There's so, I mean, whether it's pictures, whether it's phone numbers, addresses, I mean, Facebook has gotten in touch with Google, and they're now working together to, you know, Google Maps and, you know, your whole background. I mean, there's so much information that these private companies have about you. And so what CISPA does, which was just passed, it allows the government, and it's not just Facebook and Google, it's basically all companies, all record-keeping, you know, organizations or entities, it allows them to work together with the government as they see fit and share information without any type of courts, without any type of approval, without any type of, you know, permission. It's if they detect that there's some type of cyber attack, you know what I mean, then they can basically get all your information from Facebook or whoever has your information. Are you cool with that?
No, not at all. But I just feel like this was going on anyways. Like, our information was never private to begin with. This just gives them an excuse to share it. But,
right.
Yeah,
it's official now.
Yeah.
It's now official. And so, now understand, they've been trying to get CISPA passed for, you know, a long time. But it's one of the most controversial laws to ever be passed. Because of the fact that we already know, people know the government is shady, and they already know that they want your information, and so now that sets the stage for this totalitarian government that's coming, because now they have the opportunity just to get your information. All they have to do is say, hey, look, we're under attack, give us that everybody's information, and that's that. No privacy whatsoever. You know, what better way, Courtney, to pass the most controversial law maybe ever, you know, under the guise of a national tragedy?
Right.
Pretty convenient, right?
Yeah, it is.
You know, I mean, there were protests about this. There's so much stuff that, you know, people protest about. And I mean, who's going to protest a controversial law when the nation is mourning, you know, the deaths of loved ones? You know,
right.
What better way to take away guns than to have somebody walk up into an elementary school and shoot it up with quote-unquote semi-automatic rifles that really were never even used to shoot up the kids?
Right.
You know what I mean? They found a rifle in the trunk. Then all of a sudden they later reported that it was used. A lot of these people, guys, that you see doing interviews after the fact, don't just say, oh, okay, they got this guy who's saying this police officer. A lot of these people are literally actors. I'm just being, I know it's weird, I know it's tough to believe, but I'm telling you, a lot of these people aren't even real police officers. A lot of these people are, who are doing these press conferences, a lot of these quote-unquote victims, a lot of these quote-unquote, like, witnesses, they're not really witnesses. There are people, these reporters for CNN, they got somebody in their ear. Like, they're not just sitting there reporting. They got someone in their ear telling them what to say, what not to say. You know, and it's interesting to sit back and watch, knowing how the media works and watching them come up with these stories and watching their story change within a context of an hour. I literally watched CNN nonstop for a whole week. And I'm telling you, they were just there would be times where they would literally say the same thing every 5 minutes. Because, you know, people are always tuning in to CNN at different times, so they want to make sure nobody misses any information. So I'm sitting there watching it nonstop. So literally every 5 to 10 minutes, the same guy is saying the same exact thing. I'm watching him say the same exact thing. Then all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, the same thing he was saying before, he's saying something totally different 10 minutes later. I'm like, what? You just said something totally opposite. And one time they even messed up. Hold on, real quick. One time the dude even messed up. He was like, wait a minute. In my ear, please just tell me right now, in my ear, should I say this or should I not? I need to know before I continue. Like, they said that on air. I'm like, yo, what the heck? What do you mean? If it's the truth, then say it. I'm like, what do you, I got this stuff on tape. Or it's all on my DVR. What were you going to say, Courtney?
No, I was just saying, like, that's crazy. Like, you would think that they would be a little bit more smart about it. But they're really not. I don't know if they just think that America's dumb and just doesn't pay attention to things. But, I mean, there are people out there like you that actually pay attention to things. Like, and then just going back, you were just saying how, you know, there are actors. Like, I was researching that, you know, crisis actors. And sometimes they'll reuse the same, quote-unquote, victims in a different, you know, tragedy. It'll be the same people. And so I'm thinking, you don't think people pay attention to that?
Well, no. Well, that's the thing. Most people don't. You said you think they think that America, they think Americans are stupid. Well, most are. And that's no disrespect, because I know anyone who listens to my show most likely is not stupid and most likely does not fall into that category. But we're not talking about, I don't have millions of them. We got about 2 or 3 million downloads on iTunes. But in context of, you know, other, I mean, we're talking about billions of people out here. You know what I mean? Millions and millions and millions of people, you know, in the world. So, I mean, most people are mindless zombies. Most people have no idea who their government or their governor is. Most people don't even know who their mayor is. Most people don't even know, they don't even know who the Secretary of State is. Most people have no idea about anything. You know, and don't even get me started on the black community. A lot of the reason why I know a lot of the stuff that I know is because I was literally fortunate to go to some of the best schools and to be around white people and get the best education money can buy. But, I mean, for most African-Americans, that's not the case. And so they were on the receiving end of the government bending them over and screwing them. You know what I'm saying? Taking out books from schools, closing down libraries, not giving funding for after-school programs. You know what I'm saying? That's most people. So you don't even talking about going in detail about political science and how the government works and how, you know, just all the stuff that we should as people be educated on. Most people in the black community they weren't taught it. They just don't know, and it's unfortunate. So what I'm just saying is, it's good that you guys are listening tonight. You know, because this is stuff that most people not only are not going to know, but unfortunately won't even care about. They don't even care. I post information, and people, I mean, some people, you guys watch, you know what I'm saying? But I have thousands of friends. I got 4 pages over like 30,000 friends. So, I mean, and people even outside of that still, you know, see my post. That Beyonce post went viral in less than 24 hours, seen by over 1 million people. So I'm reaching people, but the reality is a lot of people don't care. You know, they care about Beyonce, but they don't care about what's really going on with the Boston bombings. You know, I just did a special on Tyler Perry's show. That was one of my highest-rated shows ever. the special in teaching, How to Love a Black Woman the Right Way last week. Those were two of my highest rated shows ever. This won't be one of my highest rated shows ever. They'll tune in for Keeping It Real Fridays when we get back to doing what we love to do, talking about this drama and talking about relationships and dating and sex and, you know, and all that stuff. But this is what people really need to be. This needs to go viral. People need to hear this. So that's CISPA, all right? That's what's going on. Now they now have the ability to basically get your information. This is what it also said. It says, but opponents of CISPA say that it would allow companies to easily hand over users' private information to the government thanks to a liability clause that exists within it. So mm-hmm. So that's, you know, I want you just to know about that. You know, and again, I'm not doing this show to educate you on CISPA. I'm just throwing it out there so you know it's your responsibility to research, like Courtney said, crisis actors, to research things like, you know, 9/11, what really happened with 9/11, you know, really research politics, the Electoral College. Like, you got to do this stuff on your own. Research what CISPA is all about. Research these gun regulations, you know, International Gun Convention that happened the week of the Colorado shooting. You know, you got to look at that stuff on your own, and you'll be like, whoa. You'll be like, wow. Research the fact that the Colorado shooter and the Sandy Hook shooter, both fathers knew each other and were both set to testify in one of the largest cases, fraud cases in United States government history. You're like, what? People say, what do you mean? What are you saying? What do you mean? What am I saying? The Colorado shooter and the Sandy Hook shooter, their fathers knew each other and were both set to testify in one of the largest government scandals in the history of this country. Is that a coincidence? Maybe that's just a conspiracy theory. Now, but I'm saying, Google this stuff. That's actually real. I'm saying, wow. How could two of these villains, these psychos, these crazy people, these acts of random violence, how could they know their fathers knew each other? Yes, their fathers knew each other. It was not a coincidence. It was not random. This is all planned stuff. Why would in the James Bond movie would they have a picture of Aurora? Why would Aurora be written on the building in the James Bond movie, and why would they show that preview in the Batman movie right before the guy came in and shot it up? Why would that happen? What an awkward and ironic coincidence. No, wasn't a coincidence. That actually happened. Right before people got shot up in the movie theater, they saw Aurora fly across the big screen. People in Colorado that got shot up saw Aurora written across the preview for the James Bond movie, in the James Bond movie. Wow. Is that not, like, scary, Courtney?
It is, but, you know, that just shows that all of this is planned. You know, this is not a coincidence. Oh, well, you know, that's a coincidence that happened. No, this has all been planned. Like, this is all, it's all the government. And people don't want to see it for what it is. We can't look at the government and our government officials as our heroes and our saviors. And no, like, that's why we always have to keep God at the forefront. You can never look to leaders because, you know, they're all about making money. They don't care about us.
Right. They don't. Not only do they not care, they care about themselves, and they have they really want our downfall. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a lot deeper than that, but we'll just mm-hmm. leave it at that for right now. Here's the thing. Let's get back to Boston. But so that CISPA, that law, the major law that was passed, and I'm taking my time with this because everything I'm saying is so important. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to skip over anything because nothing is, like, minor. Nothing is not important here. Nothing is just like, okay, let's just skip over that. No, this is like, these are major developments that you need to know in relation to the Boston bombings. Well, let's talk about the Boston bombings. What happened? So we got the Boston Marathon, which is, you know, one of the largest marathons in the in one of the most respected and well-known marathons in the country, in the world, really. People come from out of state, out of country, you know, just to participate as well as just to witness the Boston Marathon. At approximately 2:40, 2:45, something like that in the afternoon, one bomb went off, followed by another bomb a few minutes later. You saw what you saw in the news. The timing on the clock, the race clock, not the actual clock, but the race clock was, and I don't, you know, I'm not going to speculate. I'm just going to throw it out there. The timing on the clock was 4 hours, 9 minutes, and 43 seconds. That's what the time on the clock read, the race clock. If you add up 9 plus 4, you get 13, okay? Now, and I'm just throwing this out here. You can research it, and that's all I'm going to say about it. Research the Illuminati significance of the number 13. That's all I'm going to say about it. Just do, because I don't even want to speculate. I want you to research the significance of the number 13 in other tragedies. And just other events, we'll call them. But Google that. Google Illuminati significance of the number 13, and you will be very interested. It'll be a very interesting read. A lot of people don't do that, but check it out. So you know that's. But that was the timing of both bombs. All right. What do you think about that, Courtney?
I remember when you, I think you posted that, and I didn't even make that, you know, connection. But now that you brought that up, I mean, it makes sense. And I'll admit, I myself have to do some research on that number and, like, what exactly, you know, the significance of it. But, so, yeah,
just,
it's crazy.
Just do some research, because I don't even want to, see, because that's the thing about me. A lot of people will try to tell you this, and they'll tell you that. Because trying to convince you of something. I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything, because that's how you get into arguments, and that's how if you get into wasting time when you try to convince people things that they don't want to see for themselves. So all I'm saying is, hey, look, check it out if you want to. If you want to, check it out. You know what I'm saying? If you're curious to know the significance of the number 13 in regards to the Illuminati, then check it out, do your own research, and then you'll see what I'm talking about. If not, hey, no harm, no foul, don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? Another interesting fact that I saw, that I found, and, you know, again, this may be another coincidence. Maybe, you know, 9 and 4, that just happened to be the time that the bombs went off. Who knows? Maybe that's just a coincidence. This is something, let me just set this up real quick. There have been a lot of videos, and I've posted many of them. You guys can see them all. But there's something very weird and evil going on out here in regards to what people will do. Now, I don't know if you want to look at it as intentional, but, like, there are a lot of cartoons that have been produced over the years. There are a lot of television shows. There's a lot of commercials that will put blatant and clear and deliberate references to 9/11 in these movies, in these TV shows, in these cartoons. And I'm not talking about since 9/11. I'm not talking about, like, within the last 10 years. I'm talking about 10 years before 9/11. I'm talking about 5 years before 9/11. 3 years not past 9/11. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a clock in the background of a TV show will just happen to say 9/11. I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, actually a couple of months ago, I watched Alias from the beginning. Now, Alias ran from about 2000, what was it, to about maybe 2004, something like that, 2005, and something like that. And I'm watching it, and one of the guys, if you watch Alias, you know the main character, the guy, the agent, he died. And the magazine, the address on the magazine was like 9/11, you know what I'm saying, something drive. I mean, and I'm just saying that there's so many of those little things that people put in to, like, you'd be watching a TV show and, like, the guys watch, well, the hands will be 9 and the 11. Like, there's so much weird stuff that these freaking bastards will throw in there, you know what I'm saying, to make reference to it. And a lot of people don't see it. Like, it may seem weird, like, oh, and they're not really. But there are videos that will show you, and I've posted many of them, where it will make it so that it's undeniable. There aren't that many coincidences in the world. Do you know what video I'm talking about? Like, there are all types. But have you seen any of those, Courtney?
I've seen the one about the animated shows, the cartoons, that predicted 9/11.
Was that not weird to you?
It was crazy. Like, they literally showed them bombing the Twin Towers in the cartoon or the show. And I'm like, wow. And it had to be maybe like 10 years before it happened. Maybe 20.
Right.
I don't know. But that's
right.
Crazy.
Even,
and it was all there.
Right. Not even like a little thing, but like you said, actual whole episodes about, like, showing, not even bombings, but like showing a plane crashing into the Twin Towers.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying to you. This stuff is out there. There are people who do that. You think that's a coincidence? You're crazy. You know what I mean? It's not a coincidence. Al Qaeda did not have anything to do with 9/11. That's what they want you to think. But this was something that happened within us. But so, I'm telling you, it's deep stuff out here, man. It's almost scary to think about. You know what I mean? Because it's like, wow, they're, you know, the Bible does say, though, you know, we wrestle not against, you know, flesh and blood, you know, but actual, you know, like, spiritual wickedness in high places. If anybody thinks that scripture isn't specifically about the high places, like the government, like these billionaires, like the most influential people in the world, you're crazy. That's exactly what that scripture is about. It's not about flesh and blood. It's about people who are wicked, people who practice evil, people who are sick and demented and twisted, and people who worship Satan. This is real. You know what I'm saying? So, but it is what it is. Now, so I shared that, the whole thing about 9/11, for a reason. You look at Jakar, okay, Jakar Tsarnaev. Well, he was, you know, not from here. Him and his brother were not from here. But, they, you know, Jakar, he basically migrated here and, you know, became a citizen. Guess what day Jakar was made a U.S. citizen? Well, guess what day his citizenship was made official, Courtney? Take a wild guess.
September 11th.
Yeah, September 11th.
Wow, that's a coincidence, Dayton.
Right. September 11th, 2012 was the day that Jakar Tsarnaev, the suspect number two, was made a United States citizen. That's what, out of all the days on the calendar, that's the day that everything became official. September 11th. 2012, a year before. This is 2013, basically a year before all this stuff happened. So I guess that's just a coincidence, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Let's talk. So there's that. I just wanted to share that with the people. Here's another interesting thing that I want you guys to. I'm gonna throw it out here, but I want you to just kind of table it, put it on the back burner for right now, but. As I was watching CNN all week long, literally nonstop, and you guys might think that's a little weird, and maybe it is a little bit weird, but I literally was in bed. My wife was taking care of me. You know what I'm saying? I was just chilling. Nothing else to do. Watch the coverage. I'm literally getting some stuff done. Watch TV on in the background. And it was interesting because they were trying to figure out, okay, like who are the suspects? First of all, they put out this sketch. The bombings happened. They put out a blurry sketch, right? I don't know if anybody finds this to be weird, but come on, they put out a blurry sketch of two people, and then literally hours later, they have two suspects showing them with backpacks on. Does that not seem weird to anybody? See, I know we got technology, but come on. I mean, Rick, seriously, those pictures were blurry, Courtney.
I know.
Like, if that was me in the picture, would you be able to tell that was me if the picture was that blurry?
No.
I mean, seriously.
But now all of a sudden they have the people.
Come on, man. A couple hours later, they had the exact people who absolutely committed these crimes. It was BS, guys. That doesn't even sound right. It sounds ridiculous. It sounds ridiculous and just absolutely far-fetched. So there's that. So they all of a sudden got these guys' names. They got everything about them in less than, like, a couple hours off of two blurry sketches. The only, quote-unquote, the only guys with backpacks on in the whole place, in all of Boston, only guys in the vicinity with backpacks, which we'll get into later on, which is absolutely not the case. A lot of people had backpacks on. You know what I'm saying? I posted a video. These were not the only two people with backpacks on. Those were not the only two people who were, if they were even there with backpacks to begin with. I don't think that they were. You know, there's all types of technology. They could implant people, right? I'd be surprised if they were even there to begin with, to be real with you. Excuse me. You know what I'm saying? Let's just hypothetically, for argument's sake, say that they were actually there at the bombings, at the race, which I seriously doubt that they were. I believe those pictures were altered, and they just kind of literally digitally inserted them there. But there were actual substantiated photos that had been found with actual other people, white men. You know, I've seen plenty of other pictures of the Boston Marathon with people there wearing backpacks.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen those pictures?
Uh-huh.
What happened to them? Because that's how you know this stuff is fake. That's how you know something's going on here. Because, okay, let's just say Joe Carr and Tamaris, let's just say, okay, they're the guilty people. Let's just say that they did it. And, you know, but if that's the case, how can you, as a journalist, you know what I'm saying, as a reporter, anyone who has journalistic integrity, it's not – you have to report that. You can't just focus on two people and say, oh, okay, yeah, they were there and they had on backpacks and they did X, Y, and Z when there were other people there that you didn't even talk about or explore the possibility of them being suspects. How are you so sure it was them? What about these other guys with backpacks on? There were actual pictures of men with backpacks and then later on without backpacks. These are actual videos that are on, like, out there. But they're not going to be on CNN because they already got their men. They already got their suspects. That's who they're going with. So they're not going to, you know, introduce reasonable doubt when there's already going to be a national trial and a national media fiasco. Why introduce reasonable doubt into the equation by telling you guys, well, hey, look, who are these other people in the crowd with backpacks or who are later on seen without backpacks?
Mm-hmm.
Where I've seen, like, little cartoons, little, like, joke, you know, photos saying, hey, dude, where's your backpack? Hey, you forgot your backpack. You know, like, talking about the real bombers, the people who work for the CIA, the people who work for the government who were there. That's what I'm saying. Google this stuff. Google other men at the Boston bombing with backpacks. That's what I'm saying. Just look it up, and you'll see what I see. You won't see it on CNN, but I'm saying if you look it up, you'll find it. There are other media sources out there, people. I myself am a member of the alternate media. This is what you guys are listening to. This is media. There are tons of people with television shows and YouTube channels and all types of things. Glenn Beck. Look at, oh, he's crazy. Oh, now all of a sudden he's crazy because he got fired from CNN. He's no longer associated with CNN, so now he's crazy. He's lost his marbles. Jesse Ventura is crazy. He wasn't crazy enough to be governor of Minnesota, though. He's only crazy now because he talks about things that are not politically correct to talk about. You know, Lauryn Hill is now all of a sudden crazy. She wasn't crazy when she was winning 5 Grammy Awards. Now she's crazy. Everybody's crazy now when they're not going along with the plan. Dave Chappelle is crazy. He wasn't crazy when y'all gave him $50 million. But he's crazy because he didn't want to wear an Illuminati dress like Kevin Hart. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. Like, nobody's crazy. North Korea, they want to bomb us. They want to go to war with us. No, why? Because they just don't want to go along with your with the United States BS. No, it's ridiculous. So let's talk about going back to Jakar. All right, he was made a citizen on September 11th, 2012. Now here's the thing. What I was going to tell y'all was about that, which is interesting, is on CNN, when they were trying to figure out who he was, they would say that is the Americanized version of his name, the Americanized pronunciation of his name, which is Jakar. That's what a lot of the people who they interviewed who are claiming to be his friends and different things were saying, okay, well, that's who he is. His name is Jakar. Here's the thing. Now, I have actual Muslim friends, and this is interesting, international friends. I went to IUP, which is up there in western Pennsylvania, and there was a what they called the foreign dorm. I lived in, like, one of the regular dorms, but what they would do is, and this is, in retrospect, kind of weird, they would put all the foreign students in one dorm. And so it was just like, it was called Elkin Hall. And so Elkin Hall was reserved for the foreigners. That's like where they put all the foreigners, which, like I said, to me is weird. But I became cool with them because one of my friends happened to live in there. So I was actually my ex-girlfriend lived in, now I think about it. And so I was always there, and I would kind of play pool, you know, shoot pool with some of the foreigners. And one guy I became cool with, I won't even say his name, but we were cool, and I was like, yo, what's your name? And he told me his name. He's like, well, yeah, that's my name. My name is this, but you can call me this. I said, well, why do you want me to call you that? I was like, well, he's like, just because that's the American version of my name. He's like, it's actually, of Arabic descent, and, like, it has a totally different pronunciation when it's pronounced in its actual form. I said, oh, he's like, yeah, so just call me, you know what I'm saying, whatever. I was like, okay, cool, no problem. So that's what I knew him as. But that wasn't his actual name. And that's what Jakar is. Jakar is not his actual name. His name, that's the Americanized version of his name. Now, here's the question I have for you, Courtney. I get his friends, you know, people like me calling him, like what I called him, and people, Jakar's friend calling him Jakar because that's the Americanized version, but would his family call him the Americanized version of his name when his family, is it even American?
No. No, they wouldn't.
Would that make any sense?
No.
I'm just a little curious. I want everybody to think about that for a second. I want you to turn on CNN and think about that for a second. We're seeing interviews with his uncle, his father, you know what I'm saying? Like, and these people are called, I'm not saying it can't happen. I don't know what they got going on, but I'm just saying, to me, that seems a little weird. That seems a little awkward. If I have a son, I'm going to call my son his name that I gave him in my language based on my culture. I'm not going to call my son an Americanized version of his name if I'm not American and he's not even American. I don't know. Would you, Courtney?
Wow. I didn't even think of it. I didn't even make that connection as I was watching it. But to answer your question, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't call my child by the American version of their name if we weren't from America.
It's freaking ridiculous.
So it doesn't make sense. And I'm surprised I didn't put that two and two together. Wow.
See, I'm a different type of guy, though. You know what I mean? I like to think, look, like, really read behind the scenes and, like, in between the, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like to just go. Yes, there you go. I don't like to just go with the flow. I like to, you know, really know what's going on. And I like to think. My mom and dad always taught me just to think and, you know, really form my own opinions. And certain things just didn't make sense to me. They don't make sense to me. So a lot of people are thinking, they're just going along with the flow, saying, well, yeah, that's his uncle. Well, how do you know that's his uncle? Like, because CNN says that's his uncle? You know what I'm saying? I mean, oh, that's his father? Oh, because CNN says that's his father? I mean, that's what I'm saying to you. Is that his father or not? I don't know. Is that his uncle? I don't know. But would if that wasn't his father, if that wasn't his uncle, would that be the most far-fetched and outlandish thing the United States government has ever done? No.
No.
You know what I'm saying? We just established that there are certain things and certain people called crisis actors. That's what I'm saying. Google this stuff. That's not, like, that actually happens. You know? Like, a lot of this stuff. Like, where are these interviews with the Sandy Hook parents? Where are the interviews with the Sandy Hook relatives and, you know, the survivors and the Colorado people? Like, where are they at? They're not popping up on, like, Oprah or, you know, they're not popping up on these, you know, nobody wants to interview them for anything. Nobody wants to talk about it. They're not writing books or anything. You know, I'm thinking, like, that would be a pretty interesting episode of Anderson. You know, here's an interview with the mother of one of the children that was killed in Sandy Hook. I mean, wouldn't you watch that interview?
I would, but it's funny. We have not seen the parents of these children.
Well, wow. I wonder why. You know,
they're
crisis
actors. Those couples are actors. The parents are actors. Oh, wait, can I just say something real quick?
Yeah.
It just made me think, and I don't know, like, you know, don't quote me, I don't know how true this is, but it's something circulating around the internet basically saying that one of the teachers that was allegedly killed in the shooting in Sandy Hook is the same one that showed up as, like, one of the victims of the Boston bombing.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. That's crazy. Like I said, I don't know. I question the validity. Like, I don't know how true it is, but at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if that was true, same woman.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was true either. You know, but, you know, like you, I haven't really researched that. And to be honest, who knows if any of this stuff is true? You know what I mean? Who knows? Everybody's listening. You've been listening for about an hour and a half to me talk, but Who is this Dayton Tolbert? Maybe he doesn't know what he's talking about, and maybe I don't. Maybe everything I'm saying is just pure conjecture, pure speculation, and absolute foolishness. Maybe. But maybe it's not. You know what I'm saying? And all I'm asking you guys to do is have – I'm not saying follow me. I'm not saying believe me. I'm not saying don't think that I'm like God and the all-knowing everything, because I'm not. I'm saying I'm doing this show because I want you guys to think for yourselves. That's all I want you to do. If you believe me, you do. If you agree with me, you do. If you don't, you don't. I don't claim to be right about everything. I don't claim to know everything. But what I will say, though, is anyone who's listening knows that there is more to this story than is being reported. That is a fact. That I do know. And anyone who just follows like a blind sheep, you know what I mean? What they're being hand-fed by the mainstream media is an absolute fool, because there's so many inconsistencies, so many. Not just and I see the phone calls. I'm about to go to the phone lines about 10:30. Hold your calls. 10:30. We're gonna go to the phone line 646-200-0366. Hit the number 1 on your keypad. We're live tonight. We're talking about the Boston bombing, and we're just talking about a lot of stuff, man. It's been a minute since we were live. You guys know me. I got to get this stuff out of my system. I couldn't even talk without coughing last week, so I got to get this stuff out. But let me just tell you about a couple other inconsistencies before we go to the phone line. So I want y'all to hear and have information when you call in. All right? So we talked about him, the whole pronunciation thing, which to me is crazy. You know what I mean? That was just a little something I saw. I was like, whoa, that doesn't really sound right. That doesn't add up. Why is his family calling him the Americanized version of his name? I don't know. That's a little weird. But you know, the guy that they showed as his father was basically saying, you know, that he believes that they were framed. You know what I'm saying? So, but it is what it is. So there's that. Now, here's another big inconsistency. Now, again, I watched this whole thing from start to finish. They interrupted my Days of Our Lives. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? What's happening? You know, special news update. I'm like, oh, man. You know, so I watch it. So I'm seeing this thing from start to finish. So I go on there. You see, you know, bombing one, you know, bombing number two. And then they said, whoa, we are just now being informed that there was a third bombing which took place about 10 minutes later. They said, okay, where? And it was kind of weird. You could tell people were in their ears. It's all, you can always tell the fakeness as it's happening because the reporters don't have the story together. See, at this point, the story is already together. They already have time to plan. But Monday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the stuff is just, they're making this stuff up as they go along. So it's going to be, that's why I love it. That's why I'm telling y'all, don't just take my word for it. Tape it. Tape this stuff because you will catch them in blatant, bold-faced lies. Put it on your DVR. That's what they're there for. Google it. Google like three straight out. Just keep recording it so you have everything. And watch how different it is a couple hours later, let alone a couple days later. So look. Here, this is what they you guys probably saw this. They said there was a bombing of the JFK library, which was a couple miles away in Boston. And they were saying that they were like, oh, my gosh, this is – and that I saw the actual police commissioner. The actual police commissioner, and he might, I haven't heard from him since, but he says, I'm not sure. They were like, well, is this confirmed? Is there a connection? He said, well, look, I don't know if this is confirmed, but I'm confirming the fact that there absolutely was a bombing of the JFK library here in Boston, and we are now investigating whether or not there was a connection. And everybody was looking like, and he went hard with it. I saw it with my own eyes. You know what I'm saying? And next thing you know, you don't hear anything from him. Never heard from him on camera again the whole rest of the time. The commissioner, I don't even say he's the commissioner, but I'm pretty sure he was the commissioner. But some member of the Boston Police Department will say that absolutely reported it. And I'm going to go back and check exactly what they said his title was because I have it on tape. Who actually reported the bombing of the JFK library. But long story short, you never heard anything else about that, and you still don't hear anything. Now it's just bombing number one and bombing number two. So it's not like it didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? So either it happened and it wasn't connected to these other two bombings, which is absolutely ridiculous, or it just didn't happen, which is what the media wants you to believe. So that's what I'm saying. Which is it? How can you talk about two bombings but not talk about an absolute third bombing, which the police commissioner basically confirmed happened 10 minutes after the initial blast? What do you make of that, Courtney?
That's crazy. Like, you know, the news, they only show you what they want you to see. And that's crazy. Also, you know, that you said, you know, they didn't show him again, ever again. And it's like now they're back to making up stuff all over again.
I think one of the reasons for it is because, and I don't want to speculate as to, because, you know, I'm like I said, I don't know the reasons. I don't claim to know what all they have going on. Why did they do this? What happened? Who was really responsible? If not the brothers, then who and for what reason? I don't have that information. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you like, oh, yeah, this is why this happened. I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows. You know what I mean? But something's going on. Something's happening. Something's not adding up. Why are we – I mean, if you're talking about the news and you're doing nonstop news coverage of bombings and you're talking about – you're so detail-oriented, you got to get all this information, why would you just skip over the third bombing? I mean, why do that? Why would you even – how is that not important? How is the third bomb going off not worthy of being reported? That 10 minutes after, how is that not part of the investigation? You've got all this concrete evidence against these two brothers who you're absolutely sure were responsible for these crimes. Well, then if they did those bombings, well, then who's responsible for the JFK library bombing? Who did that?
Right.
You know? What happened with that? Who's the suspect for that bombing? Because they haven't even tried to put that on them. You notice in talking about all their charges, they never said, oh, yeah, they're responsible for these bombings in addition to this third bombing. So if Joe Carr and Tamara Tsarnaev were not responsible for the third bombing, well, then who was? They don't have answers to that question that make sense. So they said instead of trying to pin that one on them as well, let's just act like that one didn't happen. And if anybody doesn't see the ridiculousness of that, and the corrupt nature of that, there's something seriously wrong. That's how you know this whole thing is a setup. Because I'm not, this is like I told y'all, this was reported by CNN. This wasn't, like I said, I never, that's the only station I watched. My channel did not change. You flip back and forth. I wasn't flipping back and forth. I was literally watching CNN nonstop all week. 1 minute they're talking about the JFK bombing, the police commissioner's reporting on it. Next thing you know, nobody mentions it ever. What happened?
Right.
That's crazy. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
crazy.
That's kind of how, I'm sorry, I was just going to say, it's just been all over, the stories have just been all over the place, but that's what happens when you're trying to lie. You can't really get your story straight. You know, they're still trying to keep up, you know, this whole blaming it on the brothers, and they can't get it together. It's been so, it's so messy to me. And like I said, I mean, I shouldn't be surprised that other people can't see it, but like you said, it's gone over a lot of people's heads. But, yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone line. Let's see what's going on here, man. I see some calls on the line, 646-200-0366. Hit the number 1 on your keypad. See a call from Philly, 267-474. Welcome to the Dayton Tolbert Show. Are you there, 267-474? All right, they dropped off the line. I guess they just wanted to listen. Let's go back to the phone lines. 617 area code. Welcome to the Dayton Tolbert Show.
Hey, Dayton, it's Tamara from the group. How are you?
Oh, hey, Tamara, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Courtney? Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry, I had her phone muted for a quick second. What's going on with you? What's your question or comment?
Hey, my comment is this. So, you know, I'm from Boston. So the day of the Boston Marathon bombing, they claim that the bomb, the third bombing you were talking about at the JFK Library, he claims, Commissioner Davis claimed that it was a fire after he stated it was a bombing. So at first he said it was a bombing. Then he said that it was a fire and it was not related to the two bombs that went off at the Boston Marathon. And all the police authorities, they weren't at the fire. They were all in the city at the Boston Marathon, which is why they never even showed it on the news, because I was watching the news at the furniture store when it happened, and I never even seen the fire or the bombing or whatever you want to call it on the news. Somebody called and told me because they were too busy. All the local channels, CNN, all my local channels were all downtown. They weren't even at the fire or the bombing, whatever they want to call it. So to
of,
me,
of the,
li- it's
of
all
the library.
Exactly. So, they weren't at the library. They were all at the Boston Marathon. Everybody was.
So now, because I remember, it's funny, I remember that it was, at first it was a bombing. You know, a bomb
yep.
went off there. That was like the initial
yep.
report. Then now that you say that, I remember that it all of a sudden became a fire.
Exactly. He said it was a fire, like an electrical fire or something happened within the building, because it was a patriot holiday for us in Massachusetts, so therefore the library was closed. So there was nobody in the building at all. There was no one in the building to get hurt or anything like that. The way I interpret it is that they had that as a distraction. There's no way that all the police authorities could have gotten all the way from one town to the other side of town, from downtown to another part of Boston. When they're saying, oh, there's a bomb downtown with thousands of people, they're not going to go pay any attention to JFK, right? There's nobody over there. That's
wow.
how I take it.
So you think it was a distraction?
Absolutely was a distraction. I think the whole entire thing was a complete setup. And sorry, but it ticked me off the entire week. Like, I was so upset because, first of all, it's school vacation last week for all the kids, so my son was not in school all week. So I just find it real funny how all this happens during school vacation. None of the kids are on the road. There's no school buses on the road. Everybody's at home, okay? Monday was a holiday for us. Most jobs were closed. I was at home. All of a sudden, there's a bombing. And all the years we have Boston Marathon in Boston, it has never happened. All of a sudden, it's bombing, and then on top of it, like, I find it very funny how they wait until Friday night when it gets dark to capture the person, the last person who claimed to bomb. I don't think so. It makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Oh, man. You know what, Tamara? I appreciate you for calling. And let me ask you, what do you think is going on? I mean, obviously, like you said, like I said earlier, I don't know. You don't really know. None of us know what's happening, but in your estimate, what do you think is going? What's the reason for this big setup?
I think they're trying to go to war. I think the government and your boy Obama and his clan over there up in Congress and the White House, I think that they're trying to go to war, and they'll find any reason to do so. Like, they claim we have no money, there's no money to do anything of this and that and the third, but yet they waste all this tax money on going to war to Iraq, Afghanistan, and now to Korea, and God knows where else they want to take the military. So I just think it was a setup. The whole entire thing was fake. I watched the entire thing from beginning to end, from Monday till Friday at 10 o'clock. I find it very funny how Thursday they had this big old thing with the MIT officer being shot and killed, you know, all that happened. And then on Friday night at 10 p.m., oh, we captured the last suspect. And how they said, oh, let's turn the headlights down. Turn off your headlights. Why? Why can't I see what's coming out? If you guys are arresting this person, he's not dead, he's in a boat somewhere supposedly, why do you need to turn off your headlights? Why can't we see this person that you so-called captured? I've never seen him since the first picture that was aired on TV. So I just think this whole thing was a setup. I mean, it was just totally ridiculous. Like, you guys have CNN, but if you could see the local news that was here in Boston, it was like a complete movie. Like, I could not believe what I was seeing. Like, the stories changed. Like, it went from, oh, we have the two suspects, and they showed those blurry pictures. And I work, like, not that far from the federal government, the federal courthouse where they claim to have suspects. Then all of a sudden, they changed the story and said, oh, we're not going to have a press conference. We don't have a suspect. So the stories kept changing, like, by the minute. And anybody who can't see that, to me, I'm sorry, but they're just very not intelligent at all. Because how can you not see that this is not a setup? Like, the government set this entire thing up. The whole thing was just, like, crazy to me. Like, I just could not believe how evil these people are. Like, you killed an innocent child, innocent people, getting hurt and killed all for your own hidden agenda that you pretty much, in my opinion, like, you got caught on TV because I seen it clearly that it was a setup.
You know, Tamara, I appreciate you for calling in. Obviously, you know, from a first-hand perspective, straight from Boston, it's great that, you know, you guys see her in the group all the time. Really one of my favorite members of the group, past member, Friends of the Dayton Tolbert Show, Member of the Week Award winner. She keeps it honest. She keeps it real. Very intelligent young woman and not afraid to speak up about, you know, what she sees going on out here. And, you know, and that's what this show is about, is just talking about, I don't want this to be true. I don't want to think that they're, you know, nobody wants to think that their government, the people who claim to, you know, be responsible for us in this country, I mean, would do that, would have a hidden agenda that would involve, you know, human sacrifice for a certain agenda. But the reality is that's how this country works, you know. And going back, if you really want to get historical, I mean, like, really historical, you know, human sacrifice is something that's always been a part of our culture as a people. And when I say our culture, I mean, like, our ancestors, like, going back. Like, that's what they did. Like, I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, Courtney's a Christian, but, you know, you're normal. But there are a lot of high people in high places, you know, who unfortunately are not Christians. Not only are they are not Christians, but there's some really sick and twisted and evil people out here who will do some very crazy things. You know, and we won't get too deep into that today, but, you know, we talk about this stuff on a regular basis. Check out my special on Satanism in the entertainment industry. You know, celebrities and entertainers and politicians who've actually sold their souls and, you know, things like that for fame and fortune. This stuff is real. You know, Satanism is not this people who walk around with black coats and, you know, black fingernails and weird makeup and, you know, let their skin get all pale. That's stuff from the movies. It's not people who are into vampires and all types of weird stuff. No, that's like Hollywood. The real Satanists are right in front of your face. The real Satanists work for these music companies, work for these you know, Coca-Cola and Pepsi, and are exhibiting principles that, you know, are really have satanic and further a satanic agenda. There's Satanists in politics, you know, and a lot of this stuff, man, I posted in the group, and I wasn't live. Told y'all real quick, Because we're gonna keep. I'm gonna go back to the phone lines. We got more, a lot more information. Please believe it, a lot more. I went to wrestling a couple weeks ago. Came to Philly Monday Night Raw. I was so me and my wife were there, right? I go to, and I haven't talked about this on the show yet, but I come home. You know, I'm chilling, and I decide to watch the broadcast. Just like, oh, okay, let me see if I can see myself. We were front row. I'm like, oh, let's see if I can see myself on the thing. So CM Punk, you guys know anything about wrestling, CM Punk at the time was, well, he wasn't the champion, but he's a pretty popular, one of the most popular wrestlers. Undertaker, he's beating up the Undertaker, and he has the urn, and he's pouring the ashes all over his body, right? Making a mockery of the death of the Undertaker's manager, Paul Bearer. And as I'm watching this ridiculous thing, out of nowhere, and I taped it on my phone, I uploaded it into the group, out of nowhere, I hear 666. I'm like, yo, what the hell was that? Like, it was a ritual. You guys are probably listening like, whoa, what is he talking about? That's what I'm – a lot of the stuff you see on TV, it seems like it's just whatever, but a lot of people are doing actual rituals. I'm watching the show on TV. He's doing this thing. He's beating him up. He's pouring his ashes all over him. All of a sudden, you hear this voice out of nowhere in the background, 666. I'm like, yo. So I get my phone. I rewind it on my DVR. I videotape it, and then I upload it into the group. And I just ask, I say, hey, look, you know, turn your speakers up. Focus at the 11-second mark. What do you hear? And it's clear as plain day. Someone's saying 666. I'm just, you know what I'm saying? This stuff is not a... It's not like, you know, conjecture. It's not a theory. It's not just like, oh, acting. I mean, this is like real stuff. Courtney, did you see? Well, you saw when I posted that. You saw that in the group, didn't you?
Yeah, I heard it. I turned up my speakers and I heard it. I mean, this stuff is real. It is real.
I was like, yo, they got the freaking announcer saying 666.
Yeah.
Like in the actual rest. So I'm just telling y'all. Just as real as that happens, and they just will throw certain things in there, other things like certain tragedies, like, you know, certain music videos, Grammy performances. They're not just performances. A lot of times this stuff is ritual. So I just want to let you kind of educate you on that stuff real quick. Real quick, let me just I want to just speak about a couple things briefly, and then we're going to go right back to the phone lines. And shout out to Tamara, she really, you know, gave us a different perspective. But one of the things that I wanted to kind of talk to y'all about is this whole, there's the war thing. That, you know, I asked her, why does she think this is happening? And there's a connection that you guys need to know about. A lot of people say, okay, well, what does Boston, how is a bombing in Boston going to influence the United States going to war? War with who? Well, let's talk about that for a quick second. A lot of people don't know about this. And you can probably just Google, because I did my own research. And all I did was I Googled. I kind of knew a lot of stuff anyway, but I just want to get some more information, just kind of research. I said, well, who are North Korea's allies? Just Google that real quick, North Korean allies. Because the United States wants to make it seem like North Korea has just isolated themselves up in the middle of nowhere with no real friends in the world. But that's not 100% true. They've isolated themselves from a lot of countries, mainly because the United States has formed this alliance. You know what I'm saying? With these most of these other nations. But if you Google and you research who are the allies of North Korea, well, Courtney, I'm going to give you a quick guess. Who's one of, if not one of the only major allies North Korea has?
Russia.
Right. Russia. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So you say, okay, wow, that's interesting. That's an interesting connection. Interesting coincidence. There's that word again, coincidence. You know what I mean? Oh, Russia is one of North Korea's only allies. This is the place that Obama said we are going to be at war with in 2 weeks. He just said that on Tuesday on the Today Show. Well, what's the connection between Chechnya and Russia? Well, Chechnya is right in that vicinity, and these guys speak Russian.
Right.
You know, You know, these guys are, that's basically, you might as well say they're Russian. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, that's basically how that goes. I mean, there's not even a lot to say. If you don't see the connection by now, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, and I don't even know how they're going to do it. But just because the way I think, I already knew. When I saw this, I'm like, okay, I get it by now. After 9/11, after Sandy Hook, after, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, all right, I get it now. I know what your agenda is. I know how you operate. So what's the motive? That's why I told y'all the day it happened. I posted on my Facebook page. What I said that. If you don't believe me, go back to my page, go to my timeline, and scroll back to the day it happened. I predicted CISPA before it even happened, before it even passed. They passed CISPA midweek. I posted on Monday. I said, okay, now we got this tragedy. Watch the news closely to watch what laws and policies get passed over the next couple weeks. I posted that Monday, the Monday it happened. Next thing you know, the most controversial policy in the history of law and government gets passed, which is CISPA, the week of the bombings. I said, okay, oh, surprise, surprise. Okay, you know what I mean? Like, you knew that's what was going to happen. That's how they operate. That's, they sneak stuff up in there. You know what I'm saying? I predicted it. Just like I predict all this stuff. You know, but it's not even hard. I'm not some type of psychic. It's not hard to do if you know how they operate. So what I'm trying to tell y'all is, don't be surprised. And they're already setting the stage. You already see, that's why it's like a movie. You already know what's going to happen. Just like in Tyler Perry's movie, you already knew Brandy and Harley were hooking up. You already knew that was his ex. Like, I told my wife that, and I'm like, yo, come on, that's, you already, just like that, just how obvious that was. It's obvious what they're going to do. They're going to uncover magically some new information that links them somehow to the Russian government, okay? And then what's going to happen is they're going to use that as an opportunity to do what they don't, they're not bold enough to bomb North Korea. But I believe something, and I don't know how it's going to play out, but mark this day on your calendars. And we're going to war. Don't get that twisted. We are going to war under Obama's administration. I promise you. I mean, we're already at war, but I promise you there will be another war. I guarantee it. I don't know how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, but it will happen. I believe that we are going to somehow, or they're going to somehow, use the Tsarnaev brothers and their Russian heritage and the connection that they have, you know, and link that to the government and somehow blame the Russian government, and something's going to happen in regards to retaliation, and then we are going to go directly to war with some aspect of Russia, which, because they are North Korea's allies, that's going to draw them in, and then that will give us an excuse to get it on and popping with North Korea. And that's how it's going to jump off. And then our allies will join in, and then, you know, it's going to be World War III, literally World War III. That's how it's going to start. But I don't, you know what I'm saying? We'll see. I hope I'm wrong. But what do you think? I mean, Courtney, does that seem totally unrealistic and far fetched?
No, it doesn't. And usually, you know, when you say stuff and you say, you know, outline, okay, this is what could possibly happen, it usually comes to pass. And just based on the information we have, it wouldn't be a surprise if it did happen.
I'm telling you, I don't make a lot of prediction, guys. I don't do that a lot. But when I do, like Courtney just said, all these shows are archived. You guys can check out some of these archived shows. I've predicted a lot of major events over the years. This is our sixth year on the air. A lot of major breakups, a lot of stuff in politics, a lot of different things. And I mean, this is biblical. There will be a World War III. That's not even a question. It's just a matter of when and who will be the participants. But it's not a coincidence that you got Russia being the only ally of North Korea and these brothers who are Russian. I mean, come on, guys. You know what I mean? They're itching for a reason. They're trying to find connection. Same way they were itching to go to war with Iraq. They said, well, they got weapons of mass destruction. We got to go get them. They got nuclear bombs. The reports say, the intelligence says, they have weapons of mass destruction, which they're not allowed to have. So, therefore, we are going to war to disarm them. We get over there. We destroy their whole country. Wear them weapons of mass destruction. What happened to them? oh, we were wrong. We didn't have they didn't have it. What you mean? So basically, you said we went to war for nothing? You guys realize we're at war for nothing. And because they didn't want to take that L, so to speak, they didn't want to go down in history and have that be a humongous blunder. Well, that's where 9/11 comes into play. You know what I mean? That's you have to have some logical and feasible reason to go to war. You can't just go to war just to. I mean, they tried that; it didn't work out too well. So you got to get the public, you know, the public support. So, and how else to do that? How better to get the public on board for something than with a tragedy? How do you get the public to support gun reform? Well, you shoot up some kids. You know, next thing you know, all the public wants to take away guns. That's how you do it. All right? Let's keep it moving, though. Let's talk about them getting... Matter of fact, let's go to the phone lines. See a couple more calls. What's this? I see a call from the 386 area code. Welcome to the Dana and Tolbert Show.
Yes, hello. Good evening. This is Andrea. Sometimes I post in a group. And I've spoken to you before over the phone. The thing is, and good evening to both of you, Dayton and Courtney, and to the listeners. The thing is, you talk about Russia being an ally of North Korea and where everything's going on. China's involved, too. And it's just a lot of things is going to get ready to pop off in the world and in the country. And I've been studying the Illuminati since 11. I've been following a lot of things like the playoffs and how you see Jay-Z up there, you know, throwing his rock symbol. Everything's just coming at us at a faster rate than ever before. It is so important that we as a people who are Christian, we have to stay prayed up. We got to get on the right side with the Lord. You know, when people say, well, who do these Illuminati people answer to? Who do they get their orders from? You know, who is their top leader? And I was telling other people the other day, it's Satan himself. He's going around telling them what to do, how to do it, how to get, you know, just get rid of the people, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
In the end, you know, talk about the Boston bombings. You know, and 9/11 and all these other tragedies that's been going on and since history. What disgusts me is that even with slaves, when we came from Africa and everything, I mean, just going way back up until today, what disgusts me is, you know, just the evilness of people and, you know, how Satan's disgust for mankind. You know, we just got to stay prayed up, be in the Word, you know, fast and pray and just fast if, you know, the doctors say we can and, you know, because stuff is going to be coming at people and at us as a human race at an alarming rate. And when the military just put out Christians who go to church and worship God are now terrorists, I mean, it's just crazy. It's just so much. Breaking news is every second on the media now. And, you know, Satan is just, you know, his time is up. But we have to know whose side we're on. You know, this thing could wrap up tonight, tomorrow, we don't know. We got to make sure, you know, like, I, I'm saying we're prayed up. We stay covered under the blood of Jesus Christ, cover one another under the blood and our friends and families and continue to do our research, continue to be informed, continue to stick with God and his word, you know? And I agree with everything you say and what Courtney's saying and on the group too, and just keep it up, you know, because like you said, when people don't believe what you're saying, you're a conspiracy theorist, you know? When I try to post at other blogs and say, listen, this is the way it went down, it's a conspiracy. Oh, no, it's a conspiracy, and it's not a conspiracy. And, you know, people like you, Alex Jones, all these people are just nuts. And I'm sorry, I've been studying Illuminati since I was 11 years old, and they're a real organization, society, you know, a society within themselves, who, to me, in my humble opinion, they take direct orders from Satan himself, tells them what to do, how to do it, and, you know, it just angers me that it sacrifices human people, just like the things that's going down in Chicago with the killings all the time, with all these young people, you know what I'm saying? I mean, come on. You know, and it's just time. It's everything's going to come to a head where people just going to say enough already and just going to, the table's just going to turn. And continue to do what y'all doing, and that's it.
Andrea, I appreciate you for listening. I appreciate you for supporting and for not being afraid to just speak out, speak up and speak out against, you know, for the truth. And you're right. I think that anyone who uses that term, honestly, no disrespect, although I don't really care if people take it as disrespect, is really just an idiot. Anyone who uses that term, conspiracy theorist, is an idiot. Whoever's listening and whoever takes it how they want to take it, I'm talking to you. If anyone uses that term, they're an idiot. Because if you will take people who are not afraid to think outside the box, you know, and speak up and seek truth, you know, and you will call them, you will act like there's something wrong with them, but you will believe the lies and the manipulation and the propaganda of this government who if they had their way, would put us all back in slavery. You know what I mean? If you think that their lies are the truth, and the people who are actually seeking out truth are conspiracy theorists, there's something seriously wrong with you in the head. I don't care who takes offense to that. You know what I'm saying? Because it's crazy. This stuff is not right out here. Like she said, there are people who like, I mean, it seems weird to say, but there are actual people who literally follow the teachings of Satan. You know, that literally, the Church of Satan. These are real organizations. Google Aleister Crowley. Google Church of Satan. There are people, Jay-Z and many other celebrities, who wear their shirts. Jay-Z isn't the only person who wears shirts that show praise to Aleister Crowley, who is one of the most influential members of the Church of Satan in the history of the Church of Satan. There are tons of other celebrities who literally, I mean, worship these people, not just black people, not Kanye West, not just Rihanna, but, I mean, tons of people. Just Google them. You know, you see them wearing their apparel, and it's like, whoa, rocking Baphomet shirts. People who take their orders and take, you know, influence or are influenced by Satan himself. This is real stuff out here, and the information is out here. It's not hidden anymore. Those little 666s that Beyonce throws up ridiculously, those are references directly to Satan himself. 666. I mean, this is deep stuff out here, Corey. A lot of people are like, whoa, what are you talking about? I didn't see this on CNN. Thought you were talking about Boston. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're talking about Boston, all right. But you can't talk about Boston and not talk about Satan. Any thoughts on all this, Corey? What do you think about our caller?
Oh, I thought she was excellent, excellent caller. She went in, but in a good way, you know. Like, just you hear the passion and you hear the conviction in her voice. And I definitely just really commend her for, like you said, just speaking up about what's really going on, because people are, you know, ignorant of it, or pretend that they are, at least, because they don't want the truth. They want to continue to live in the world. They want to believe, you know, the stories that the news provides for them. Because a lot of people, they look at the Boston bombings from just a very surface level, and they're not even thinking, like, about what's really going on. And, I mean, I'm not judging anybody's walk or anything like that, but over time, like, when you develop that relationship with God and you really are on fire for God, that's when all the stuff becomes crystal clear. So I just encourage people just to do that research. If you don't know what's going on, that's fine. Just take the time to research. And, like, no one says you have to know everything overnight, but don't, you know, take a blind eye to it and, you know, call people names for speaking out against what's going on.
Right, not at all. We're going to get ready to wrap it up soon, but not just quite yet, because we haven't even gotten to the good part yet. we haven't even really gotten to the thick, because we've been talking all night for the last couple of hours about all the inconsistencies, but we really haven't gotten to the main inconsistency, which I wanted to save, you know, for towards the end. Here's the main inconsistency that I have here, which is, and again, keep in mind, I'm like tomorrow, she says she watched it from Monday to Friday, nonstop. She was out of school. Listen, I was homesick. I didn't even do any sessions. Normally I'm doing 7, 8, 9 counseling sessions a day, so I don't have a lot of time to be in front of the TV and different things. I didn't work at all. I did work, but I wasn't doing any sessions because I couldn't talk. I was like in bed, you know what I'm saying, with the chills under the covers, but I still had that TV on, you know what I'm saying, nonstop. You know what I mean? Seriously. But here's the main inconsistency that I saw. Like we talked about earlier, they had the shootout, you know, with the MIT cop who gets killed. It just doesn't make sense. You know, they showed interviews with his friends saying that the day after the bombing, he was still in class, he was still hanging out, working out in the gym, doing different things. And then all of a sudden, he just goes and kills a police officer just to do it. I believe that was done just to kind of add icing on the cake. They wanted to add that additional dynamic, you know, killing a kid, killing some innocent bystanders, 2 or 3 people, that wasn't enough. Let's go ahead and kill a cop just to kind of add fuel to the fire, get these guys riled up. So I believe that that's what happened. I believe that, you know, they did flush these guys out, you know, and so they were, you know, they did run. They were, you know, they you know, were trying to get away. But, you know, if once your face is plastered all over the news and people tell you, look, this guy's going to kill you, you know, what are you going to do? I'm probably going to run, too. I'm not going to just sit in my crib, wait for people to come in if I'm being framed. I'm just saying, Courtney, mm-hmm. if your face pops up on the news for something you know you didn't do, and it's
I'm gone.
You're going to try to get away.
Right, yeah.
You know, you're going to try. I know I would. I mean, you're not just going to sit there. You know people are coming to kill you. These people are running for their lives. And I'm just saying that's what it looked like to me. There are tons, and we're about to get into who I believe was really responsible for this. But here's the thing. As they're getting away, so you got this cop who gets killed. But then as I'm watching the news, and this is, listen, guys, there was a suspect who was taken into custody. CNN itself reported. I saw it, and I posted the link. Okay, this wasn't just somebody random post. CNN reported this and showed suspect number one in custody, butt naked. Okay, they showed him. I posted the video on my Facebook page. It may be up there still. It may be going. I don't know, but I posted it the other day. CNN reported that they had a suspect in custody. Okay? So, to say, let's be clear, the suspect that they had in custody was suspect number one. I don't care what anybody says, that's him. You can look at the pictures. You know, there's an aunt that has surfaced that said, mm-hmm. that is my nephew. I mean, it's him. It was the guy. They said, we have captured suspect number one. Number two is on the loose. Next thing you know, he's dead. I literally watched CNN 1 minute showing him butt naked, you know, in custody, and then literally a couple hours later saying he's dead. How does a suspect go from being butt naked and arrested on CNN, not this ain't no crazy stuff. This is reported live on CNN. I have it saved on my DVR. Suspect number one taken into custody, butt naked. And they even said, we want to make sure we do not show him. The guy's like, please tell me, I want to make sure this is you know, kind of transfigured so you know you don't see anything. We don't report anything we shouldn't show. He is naked. He has no clothes on. I just want to make sure that there's a delay on here. They even said, they were very adamant. They said, please, we want to make sure we don't, when they were doing the manhunt and all that, we want to make sure we don't show anything so there is a 5-second delay. Or they made sure to put that delay up in there just to, you know, make sure nothing crazy got reported that they shouldn't report. That's what that was really about. But they showed the guy butt naked, taken into the cop car. So, Courtney, here's the million-dollar question. How does suspect number one, who is taken into custody, again, reported by CNN, the world leader in news, how did he get killed? How did he all of a sudden get run over by his brother?
Because he's still alive.
Well, he's not alive now, but he was alive then.
But then, I mean, it just seemed like it was just all made up. Like, it was just, they didn't have it together. They did not have their story together.
They changed the story. They made it up as they went along.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I want everybody to realize. Because what they're banking on is this. They're not banking on the Tamaras of the world, the Dayton Talberts of the world, who were literally glued to their television sets nonstop. What they're expecting is that, okay, you got kids, you got work, you got a family, so you'll tune in, you know, for 5 to 10. That's kind of, like now when I work, that's how I watch the news. You know, it's like, you know, if I'm washing the dishes, I'll turn on the TV in my kitchen and just kind of listen to what, you know, what they're talking about. If I'm getting some stuff done, I'll just turn on the news, getting ready for work, listen 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, see what's going on with the weather. That, you know what I'm saying? Nobody listens to the news. Nobody watches the news for 5 hours straight. They weren't banking on that. They're banking on people just tuning in when they – so they didn't think that anybody would catch the inconsistencies. They're thinking, well, if you saw this story, you probably didn't see this story. Or if you caught it at 10:30, you're probably not going to catch it at 1:30. Or if you catch it at 2:30, you didn't catch it this morning at 9:30. But guess what? I caught it the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
So I want everyone to listen. This is the most important part of this show. They blatantly lied to you. Suspect number one was never ran over. He was never shot. He didn't have bombs. Oh, that's another thing. They even had the doctor on there. They tried to get the doctor caught up. They jammed him up. They tried to get one of the leading doctors at the hospital. They were saying, this is crazy. They said they were doing an interview with one of the doctors who saw the dead body of Tamara Tsarnaev, suspect number one. And they were asking him in detail. They said, whoa, I mean, so, doctor, what can you tell us about suspect number one? I mean, what kind of injuries did he have? I mean, what? He was like, whoa. He said, I'm not saying anything about that. He said, as a doctor, I can't comment on that. He said, okay, you don't have to comment on that, but just, you know, what can you tell us the cause of death was? He was like, I have no comment on that. Like, okay, well, was there bomb residue on him? Did he have any injuries? I mean, what was the cause of death? What can you tell us about it? He said, well, I can say that his injuries were extensive. He had mortal wounds. You know, but as far as, you know, doctor-patient confidentiality, I cannot comment on anything outside of that. But I will let the police report, you know, the police discuss exactly what wounds he did have. But I can tell you that he is. But he said, I can confirm that his wounds were terminal, and they were extensive, and they were terminal. You know, they were fatal. I'm like, what the heck are you talking? You didn't say anything. He didn't want to be caught up. He said, look, I'm gonna tell you, this is all on my DVR. This was the doctor, and you probably won't ever hear from him again. You'll never see him on camera again. I only saw him that one time. You can tell they didn't do a good job of prepping him the way they had prepped a lot of the other, you know, people that they interviewed on camera. But what ended up happening was he said to himself, look, these guys got some other crazy stuff going on out here. I'm not putting my reputation on the line for no BS. I'm not going to sit here and say that this guy had bomb residue, he had gunshot wounds, he had burn marks. I'm not going to make up anything that's going to possibly come back on me and cause me to lose credibility as, you know, as a physician. That's why it was very awkward, because they were interviewing him and he basically didn't answer any questions. Every question they asked him about suspect number one, he basically said, I have no comment on it. He said, I can't comment on it. I'll let the police tell you that. And this is the doctor that pronounced him dead. How can the doctor who pronounced him dead not when it can't even say what the cause of death was? He said, I'll let the police tell you what the cause of death was. Why would the doctor let the police tell you what the cause of death was when the police didn't even see the guy? You're the doctor who actually got him in the hospital. That doesn't seem weird to anybody. That's how fake this whole thing is. People, I know this is mind-blowing for a lot of people. It was mind-blowing to me, too. But you got the doctor, and that's what I'm saying, guys. Nothing I'm saying can't be substantiated. This is all everything I'm speaking on tonight. Please understand this. This isn't my opinion. I'm sharing what I saw exclusively on CNN. That's all I watched. And I'm just speaking of the inconsistencies and the blatant lies that because you guys know the government controls CNN, right? Mm-hmm. What colors are CNN, Courtney?
Red, white, and probably black.
Black and
silver. All those colors. Yeah, black and silver, yeah.
You know, they're Illuminati'd out. You know, that's how they get down. So, I mean, and that's how they are being controlled. Mm-hmm. They control, you know, they basically are an avenue for the government to get what information out that they want you guys to know. And so that's one of the major things I wanted to make sure that we touched on is that, and these there are videos. If you have not seen suspect number one naked on CNN handcuffed being led into a car, you need to look at that. Because on one hand, I mean, let's just play devil's advocate here. Let's just, you know, hypothetically, but it absolutely was suspect number one. Tamara Tsarnaev. Absolutely was him. They said it was him. But let's just, for argument's sake, say that it wasn't him. Let's say it was someone else. Who was it? Who was that then? You know what I mean? Who was handcuffed, butt naked, being led into a police car, Courtney?
I couldn't think of anyone else.
Was that an accomplice? Was that someone who was in on it? Because evidently, these two were the only two people who were responsible for this crime. And let the media tell it.
Mm-hmm.
So either they lied and said that he was killed, or there's other people out there associated with this crime that they are covering up. But that naked man was somebody. That's what I'm saying. Who was he?
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Oh, I mean, it's nothing to figure out. It was Tamara Tsarnaev.
Mm-hmm.
It was him. But it's just that they decided to change the story. The story mm-hmm. would play out better if he was dead. That's why they changed the story. There's no need to have two suspects in custody. You know what I mean? It makes better mm-hmm. sense. I mean, okay, we'll just pin it on the one. We'll say it was two. We'll kill one, and we'll have one guy that'll take the fall. Just like there was one guy that took the fall for JFK, one guy that took the fall for Martin Luther King, one guy who took the fall for Aurora, one guy who took the fall for Sandy Hook, and none of these men, you never hear from these men again. How come we never have heard from the Sandy Hook killer or the Aurora killer? They don't have anything to say? No statements, no nothing? You ever notice that?
Yeah, they're not going to have them say anything when it was all a part of the plan in the first place. So.
Right. No, nothing to say. No interviews.
Nothing to say.
No nothing, right? And I remember they said that the guy was he was suffering from some type of shock and he was unable to speak. I'm talking about the Colorado shooter.
Uh-huh. I know what you're talking about.
You ever see him all cracked out, looking all weird?
Uh-huh.
They had him all drugged up. Looking like the Joker from Batman or something.
Uh-huh.
And they said that he was going through something, like he couldn't talk, he couldn't communicate.
They conveniently do that. They always do that. Wow.
Guys, Google, look up, you know, government mind control. A lot of people don't like to think that type of stuff exists. But, you know, really look this stuff up and do your own research on, because I don't want it to even come from me. I don't even want y'all to say, oh, he's talking about people controlling their minds. Oh, my, like, no, like, that's what I'm saying. Really look for it. Look, there's tons of information out there about government mind control. You know, I'm talking about doing things through drugs, through different, all types of different procedures. You know what I'm saying? Where they're basically controlling people to have them do what they want them to do. I'm not going to claim to know exactly who or what or, you know, how this all happens, but this stuff is going on out here, and we need to be aware of it. So this is, you know, now, so they killed, you know, get those fingers back up, you know, they killed the brother, you know, that's what they're saying it happened. He's dead, right? Now we've got Joe, you know what I'm saying? So we'll call him suspect number one and number two, you know, Jakar. He is now, they put him on the boat, right? And I believe that, like, literally, they put him on the boat. That was the setup. I believe that he was apprehended. They got him. And I was watching an interview on CNN with one of the tactical people, and they were saying that the police were all blocked off. They were all sectioned off. The only people who got close to were, like, phrase this the right way. While the police, the local police and things like that were positioned for the standoff, they showed all these trucks speeding by. And as you're watching the CNN coverage, they were talking about, whoa, something is going on now. We just saw all these black trucks fly by through all the police. And then you knew something like that was something. They said, we know something is happening. And it was right before they announced that they had apprehended him. Let me tell you something else that I saw. Matter of fact, I'm about to bring Tamara back on the line if she's still here in a quick second. Because I want to ask her a couple questions. Matter of fact, Tamara, are you still there? Do we still have you, Tamara, or no? All right, we're going to try to get her back on the line in a quick. I want to ask her a couple quick questions. I think I have her. Tamara, is that you?
Hello?
Yeah, so are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Real quick question for you. Did you see when they apprehended or when they were about to, right before they announced that he was caught and they had him cornered, did you see when the governor, your governor, he announced that it was safe to go back out onto the streets?
Yeah. Actually, before they even, like, right before they found him in the so-called boat behind the house, they had just lifted the safety lift that they had on the block down all day. They had just made the lift and lifted up. And so right after that, all of a sudden, I'm watching the TV, and I just hear all these gunshots. And that's how they made their way back to the boat. Because I guess they found him in this boat that was, like, nowhere near the rope off where they had blocked off the streets or whatever. I guess that was outside the perimeter.
Right,
so
right.
Once they heard the gunshot, they all of a sudden, like, started, like, driving the cars all over there and piled up. I did see that. And I also seen how they were interviewing all these people before they even, like, went into to capture him. Like, they were trying to, like, talk to him or do, I don't know what they were doing. But it just looked real crazy to me. Like, I don't know. It was like a live movie. I just couldn't get over how ridiculous it was.
Yeah, I want to get your perspective on that, just being there, because I saw that on TV, and I'm watching. I'm like, wait a minute. This makes no sense whatsoever. Here you have the whole area, and there's a basically a statewide curfew. You know what I'm saying? Like, they said, look, stay in your house. The whole day, I'm watching, they're like, look, do not leave your house. If you're in Boston, if you're anywhere near Boston, these people are armed, and they are dangerous. So just follow me for a second here. There's a psycho on the loose that they're saying is going around killing people. So please do not come out of your house. We are going door to door to houses searching for this person. I want to understand why, under what sense would it make to have that curfew, have that ban on the streets on all day, right, but lift it before you even catch the guy while he's still on the loose, while he's quote-unquote still on the loose. Because I don't know if you guys are watching, but they lifted that. They said it's cool to go outside. They said, he said, and this is the governor talking. The governor of Massachusetts said hey, look, we don't have him. I saw this with my own eyes. They said, we have not captured him, but we believe we have certain information. He said, I'm not going to go into what information that we have. He said, but there is information that we have that we feel as though it's safe to go back out onto the streets. This, they said, you know, be cautious. You know, so they said, you can go out, but just be cautious. Why would you lift that ban when you haven't even caught the guy? He could be anywhere. What, you know, I'm just asking, Courtney, does that make any sense for the governor to lift a ban that had been on the whole day, but then to lift it before you even catch the guy and before, right after you're about to go have a shootout with the guy? Why would you do that?
See, and that's so crazy, but that just shows you, one, that they don't have it together, and two, that it's really all a setup. Like, he's not the guy that we, you know, they want us to believe is the dangerous one, really isn't. I mean, it's so much bigger than that.
Right.
It's really the government.
This is what happened. They had a little powwow, you know, a little meeting, and they said, all right, look, we're going to wrap this thing up. We're going to go ahead and, you know, we got him. He's on we got him in the truck, and we're going to put him on the boat. We're going to shoot up the boat, and we're going to apprehend him, and then we're going to announce it. So that's away from the crowd. You know, that's away from, you know, all the, you know, where everybody's at. So, you know what, go ahead, let him back out, and we'll go ahead. That's basically what happened. That's not what they said. That's not what they showed you. But that's what happened. Because think about it. If there's a psychopath running around and nobody knows where he is, there is nobody in their right mind who would say it's safe to go back out into the streets. That makes no sense whatsoever. There's not a person on the planet who thinks that makes sense. They had that man in custody. They already knew how that situation was going to play out. It was just a matter of it playing out. There's no possible reason. No one would lift a curfew and tell people to go back onto the streets where there's a psycho running around, where he could literally kill people. You know, I could see him being in custody and then saying, okay, it's safe to go back out, but there's no conceivable reason to let people back out into the streets before he was in custody. And that's all I'm trying to say to you. This stuff doesn't make sense. All right, guys. So that's another major, major, you know, development that they had. So they shot it up, shot up the boat, miraculously, you know what I'm saying? Miraculously, they shoot up a boat, right? We hear automatic weapons. You guys know anything about automatic weapons? You shoot, I mean, you're firing out, you know, dozens of rounds a second. You know, multiple people shooting out automatic. You're shooting up a boat, and he just, all he has is a gun wound to the throat. A non-life-threatening gunshot wound to the throat? That's it? I mean, like, Courtney, you go onto a boat, Courtney, right? Go onto a boat, lay on the boat, and let me shoot up the boat with just one automatic rifle, and you tell me if you leave with just one gunshot wound.
No, it would be more. It would be a wrap, actually.
It would be over with.
Yeah, it would be over for me. It really would. I'm trying to be funny, but it's a wrap. Like,
this stuff doesn't make sense, guys. You even saw it. You know all that stuff they're showing you, like the infrared, like, video of, you know, them shooting up the boat. Like, you see all of it. Like, no, he would have been killed.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been killed. The plan the whole time was to apprehend him and to bring him to justice so he can go down and be the scapegoat. It's just a coincidence that of all the injuries he could have possibly had, the one injury is to his throat so he can't communicate. But that's not actually true, though, because evidently, according to today and yesterday, he actually did communicate. And now he supposedly admitted that it was him and only him. And that's just, he takes responsibility for these crimes. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear that part. I didn't even know he spoke out.
Oh, yeah, he's, that's because he didn't, but that's what they're saying.
Right. Okay,
gotcha. That's the story. That's the story, okay. And they're running with it. They're sticking to it. You know, he's now communicated. He can't talk, but he communicated that he admitted to these crimes. Right? Now, but look, guys, we got a couple more minutes here, and this I want to get to. We haven't even talked about anything yet. Remember when I posted a link a couple days ago about Glenn Beck, you know, mm-hmm. the news reporter Glenn Beck, saying that he had life-changing, severely damaging information towards the United States government that was going, specifically Obama, that was going to really cause everyone to look at our government in a really bad light. He said he's giving the government until Monday to release this information and to tell the truth. Otherwise, he's going to release it. Do you remember that article?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I do.
Right. Now, here's the thing. I want to read it to you guys. It's not long. Well, actually, it is long. And so I'm just going to read you the first part of it. But I did post it on my page. And if you go to, and this is not, and I don't even want to say that I'm an advocate of Glenn Beck. You know, he says some things I agree with. He says some things I don't agree with. But, you know, he worked for and was on CNN's, one of CNN's most highly rated shows on the whole network. You know, this is a respected guy and has been for years, you know, he's a journalist, a reporter. It just so happens that, you know, he got fired from, or put it like this, they decided not to renew his contract, and so now he does his own, you know, independent thing. And he's on The Blaze. That's his new network, which is online. If you go to you can go to theblaze.com, or you can go to glennbeck.com, which will take you to The Blaze, I believe. But I'm looking at this article, right? And I just want to read some things. And this is very deep. And this goes very high up. And I'm just going to read you some things. From this article, it says that on Monday, Glenn Beck revealed further details about a Saudi national who was the first suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing. Despite denials from Janet Napolitano and officials from the United States Immigration and Customs Office that a Saudi national was taken into custody in connection to the Boston Marathon bombing. Several sources have confirmed that Abdul Rahman Ali Al-Harbi was set to be deported for proven terrorist activity. Okay, a suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing was taken into custody and set to be deported because of proven terrorist activity. It says, according to two FBI sources, Abdul Rahman Ali Al-Harbi was taken into custody Monday, April 15th in Boston after he was injured in the blast. A source within the National Counterterrorism Center, and this is a United States organization, a government organization, he told The Blaze that on Monday night, Al-Harbi Revere, Massachusetts, his Massachusetts apartment was searched and property was taken out of there. At 4 o'clock Eastern on Tuesday, the National Targeting Center Field Watch Commander created an event file calling for Al-Harbi's deportation using Section 212.3b, which is proven terrorist activity. According to The Blaze's sources, tagging someone as 3B requires solid evidence. Hopefully you guys are following this. We're going to talk about it in a couple of seconds, but I just want to read you what is on Glenn Beck's website. Now, is Glenn Beck, no, I'm not saying he is or anything. I'm just, you know, he is Glenn Beck. He is who he is. These are sources. Now, Fox News reporter Todd Starnes has also reported that the Saudi national who was initially detained and then ruled out as a suspect in the Boston Marathon terrorist attack, had been flagged for terror on a terror watch list and was granted a student visa without being properly vetted, sources have told me. Now, this is someone from Fox News saying that here you have a Saudi national who was detained but then, quote-unquote, ruled out as a suspect in the Boston Marathon terrorist attack. However, he had been flagged on a national terror watch list, you know what I'm saying? But he was still, he was also given a student visa. Why would you, now I'm just, Courtney, are you following this here? We have a Saudi national who clearly has been, has proven terrorist activity here in the United States. He was arrested in, or not arrested, but detained and questioned in relation to the Boston bombing, a proven terrorist. Not only was he released, but he was also given a student visa and then let go. Does that,
right.
Does that, I mean, this is real stuff right here. So how come CNN isn't reporting this?
Oh yeah, they're not going to report that stuff, because then it would make, that would make the government look bad. Like,
check this out.
That would make them look horrible.
Check this out. This is Todd Starnes, who is a news reporter for Fox News. It says here, Starnes, his report, it no longer appears, it initially did, but it no longer appears on Fox News' website, but it can be found here on Town Hall, and there's a link to, I guess, whatever website will take you to that, his actual initial report about this Saudi national.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here is Representative Jeff Duncan, who is a Republican out of South Carolina, a congressman, has told The Blaze that he has detailed information on this Saudi national and has confirmed that Al-Harbi was deported under Section 212(3B) of the Immigration and Nationality Act. Alongside three other congressmen, Representative Duncan has requested a classified briefing on this Saudi national and the deportation order. Now, this is a congressman right here. So this is now not, this is not like just a, you know, a report, like, you know, a theory or a story. This is actual, these are facts. There is a Saudi national who was a proven terrorist who was detained initially in connection to the Boston bombing and ultimately deported. They said, yo, you got to get out of here. We're getting you on a plane out of here quick. We got this guy. We got Tamaraz, or he's dead, and we got Jokar. So you got to get out of here, Al-Harbi. You know, we're flying you out of here.
Mm-hmm.
This is crazy stuff. You guys don't realize what's happening here. This is crazy. This is stuff that they're not even talking about. Why would Jokar and Tamara, Suspect 1 and Suspect 2, why would their faces be plastered over every news station? You know what I'm saying? These are innocent kids. These are kids out here. But there was an actual suspect who was at the bombing, who was injured in the bombing, and was questioned specifically about the bombing, and then let go. But there's, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy. A proven terrorist let go and given a visa and then flown back to his home country. It says here that even though sources within Congress have confirmed that the Saudi national was set to be deported under Section 212(3B), several figures in the United States government have denied or refused to answer questions about Al-Harbi.
Of course.
First Homeland... Huh?
I said, of course.
It says here, First Homeland Security Janet Napolitano refused to answer questions on the subject when she was confronted by Representative Duncan on Capitol Hill. Then on Thursday, a senior law enforcement official told The Blaze that reports claiming the department was deporting Al-Harbi under Section 212(3B) and had opened an event on the Saudi Arabian national following Boston's attacks is categorically false. So now it's false. All right? the senior law enforcement official told the Blaze that Al Harbi was never in custody nor ever considered for deportation, but that the department does have a different Saudi national in custody being held on grounds unrelated to the Boston bombings. Glenn Beck told the radio audience that there were several meetings last week between members of the Obama administration and key Saudi officials. So basically, we'll just be clear. Obama's administration, key members here, you know, and of Saudi officials who already have, like we talked about earlier in the show, have long and extensive ties to the United States government. That's why it says here that the United States government, you know, of the or members of the Obama administration have had numerous meetings, several meetings, with key Saudi officials. Google, you know, 9/11, watch Fahrenheit 9/11, and you'll see, like I told you guys earlier, how close these the United States government and these key Saudi officials are. Right before 9/11, all types of Saudi nationals were automatically flown out of the country like the day before 9/11. Did you know about that, Courtney?
No, I didn't.
Bin Laden's relatives were flown out of the United States the day before 9/11. This actually happened. They were here on quote-unquote business, but they left the day before 9/11.
Wow.
What was so important that they had to get out of here so fast right before 9/11?
Wow, because they had to plan. They were helping plan it, and behind it, they're working with
That's
us,
what I'm saying.
The
That's
government.
What I'm saying, guys. This stuff actually happened. It's just that you don't see it reported. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. You just don't, you know what I mean? They cover a lot of stuff up. But the ties between the Saudis, you know, which you know, Bin Laden's relatives, you know, these are well-documented relationships. You know what I mean? They don't deny that. Like, we are, understand this, we are cool with Bin Laden's relatives. They are friends of this country. They do business with the United States in regards to oil, Bush's family, and the Saudis. They are friends and have been friends. Bin Laden's relatives. You understand that, guys? They don't tell you that, though. But these are facts. You know what I mean? And nobody knew where Bin Laden was this whole time. But we're friends with his friends. We do business with his relatives, but nobody knows where Bin Laden is. He's in that national manhunt. All of a sudden, Obama finds him. Okay, right. Let's continue reading here. Let's continue. I told y'all, man, this is, y'all want to listen to this, or y'all want to watch Scandal? Y'all want to watch Love and Hip Hop? This is real internet. This is real reality. You know what I mean? Seriously. I'm laughing because it's actually funny, man. Like when you like see information that like you will never know about, and people try so hard to keep under wraps, and then it gets out. It's like, whoa. But here, let me just read this because we haven't gotten to the good part yet. It says, all right, so the Obama administration has met with key Saudi officials. On Tuesday, Secretary of State John Kerry met with Saudi Foreign Minister Saud, which was closed to the media. Then on Wednesday, President Obama had a chance encounter, and the quotes are around chance. President Obama himself had a chance encounter with Saudi Foreign Minister Saud and Saudi Ambassador Adel Al Jubeir. And this is on Wednesday of the Boston attacks. Obama's meeting with the Foreign Prime Minister Saud and the Ambassador Adel Al Jubeir. Shortly after John Kerry's meeting with Saud, the FBI started to backtrack Al Harbi's status in connection to the Boston Marathon bombing. First, he was alleged to be a suspect, and then he was a person of interest, and then a witness, and then a victim of the bombing. Now that two suspects, the Tsarnaev brothers, have been killed or taken into custody, Al-Harbi seems to be completely ignored. On Wednesday, April 17th at 5:35 p.m. Eastern, the event file on Al-Harbi was altered and the order to deport him was rescinded. This is unheard of. This is impossible in this timeline due to the severity of the charge, Glenn Beck explains. You don't one day put out a 212-3B charge against somebody with deportation and then the very next day take it off. Beck says that there are only two people who could order that change of status: the director of the NCTC, after getting everybody in the agency to sign off, or someone in the highest levels of the State Department. Glenn Beck says the Blaze has been unable to identify who exactly made the alteration in Al-Harbi's status. On the radio, Glenn Beck says sources are now telling the Blaze that this case will likely be moved to the Department of Homeland Security, to the Department of Justice, and labeled an ongoing investigation. This will be the reason that Janet Napolitano will be unable to respond to the Homeland Security's committee request for a briefing. Beck also says that there is heavy disinformation. There is a heavy disinformation campaign currently being waged against this story, similar to Benghazi. He believes that claims of mistaken identity, additional Saudi nationals in custody, and more are being used to discredit further investigation into this story and confuse media outlets. As of Monday morning, no details of the second Saudi in custody have been provided. Beck says, why were there no names, no pictures presented? The fact is that an event was created for one Abdul Rahman Ali Al-Harbi, indicating he was to be deported for terrorism activity related to the Boston bombing. If this file was created with another Abdul Rahman Ali Al-Harbi in mind, don't you think we should know about it? Beck says. Last thing he says, I need you all to contact your congressman right now. There are congressmen who are aware of this. They have seen the documentation, and they need your support. They need your help. If we do not stand up, he will be on a plane tomorrow if he's not already gone. We demand answers from the Justice Department and this administration. And there's, it says, one last paragraph, he says, Glenn Beck explains that this story is just the latest example of a pattern of connections between the Saudi government and the United States that extends far beyond our current administration. He specifically points to the fact that days after 9/11, wealthy Saudi Arabians, including members of the bin Laden family, were flown out of the country without even being questioned. For 3 years, no one in the administration would admit to clearing the flights. The Bush administration would later block the investigation into Saudi involvement in the 9/11, even though 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudis, and would eventually force the redaction of a 28-page chapter of the 9/11 Commission report regarding foreign, specifically Saudi support for some of the al-Qaeda hijackers. I want to just read this. We've got some time. I just want to finish. This is interesting stuff here. Courtney, I mean, is this boring you?
No, not at all. No, I want to hear more.
Yo, I hope nobody out there, this is deep stuff, right? Everything we're reading, and listen, and I'm going to post this article again, because I'm just reading an article on Glenn Beck's website. This information is readily available to anyone who wants to see it, all right? Go to theblaze.com, glennbeck.com, all this stuff is right there. It says that on January 14th, 2013, President Obama met with the Saudi Minister of Interior. 2 days later, Janet Napolitano signed an agreement with the Saudi minister allowing trusted traveler status on Saudi student visitors, which would mean greatly reduced security checks and scrutiny.
Wow.
This is, it's deep, right? This is trusted traveler status that we don't even give to some of our most trusted allies, yet we give it to Saudi Arabia last January, so they can just walk into our country with no questions asked. There's a pattern, he says. There's a relationship between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia that the American public does not know about. The case of Abdul Rahman Ali Al-Harbi is only the latest example. And that's the article. I didn't plan on reading the whole article, but you see how deep it got as we kept going later, or like, you know, further and further. Right, Courtney? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's, wow, that's crazy. I didn't even know that part. Like, I didn't know all that stuff was going on. So basically, you know, we're working with the Saudis, and we allowed them to come in and, you know, help us out with certain things, bomb a couple things, and then we give them permission to go back and, you know, go over to their home country, and they don't have to get checked by security.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Like, that's crazy.
Yo,
wow.
They said 14 of the 19 hijackers associated with 9/11 were of Saudi descent, you know, and so we have relations, you know, with, you know, and long-lasting, long-existing relationships with high-ranking Saudi officials. These presidential administrations, I mean, but you guys get it by now. It's no need to even beat a dead horse. These are our friends. These are friends of the Bush families. You know, I mean, you know, the Bush family, the Cheneys, these guys were here on 9/11. They do this stuff. They fly them out of here. They give them VIP treatment. We had one definite, and according to this report, maybe a second suspect specifically associated with the Boston bombing. They said he went from being a suspect to being a person of interest to downgraded to only being a victim, which tells you if he was a victim, yo, if he was a victim of the bombing, which is evidently that's been confirmed, that means he was there at the bombing site. What was he even doing there to be a victim of the bombing, Courtney?
Was he the bomber?
No, he just likes the marathon. He likes to watch the runners.
Oh, okay.
He was just there having a nice
time.
Obviously,
he got part of it, you know.
Right.
This guy
was given VI. We're going to get ready to get out of here, man. It's getting late. But I want you guys to understand what this all means. As you watch the news, as this whole thing plays out, these are facts. We have obviously, the Tsarnaev brothers have obviously been labeled as the scapegoats for this tragedy. That is how this is playing out. One is dead. We've outlined several inconsistencies with that, you know what I mean, with that story. The one brother, Jokar, he's going to take the fall for it. But the question needs to be asked, who is Al-Harbi? Where did he come from? What is his connection to the Boston bombings? And maybe he's innocent, maybe he's not. But if anything, I would think that at least he would be a suspect. You know, if you've got two brothers who are students, they evidently are good kids, why is it so, you know what I'm saying, so hard to believe that maybe this other guy who is a proven terrorist, maybe he did it. And he was there. He was already detained. He was questioned. Mm-hmm. And then he was let go and then flown out of the country. Why is nobody reporting? And this has been confirmed by congressmen, high-ranking officials. And so I want you guys just to understand there's a lot of stuff out there that we are not being told. There's a lot of hidden relationships. There's a lot of stuff you're not going to see on CNN. We're out of here, man. Courtney, what last thoughts do you have for the people?
Oh, I just wanted to thank you just for providing this information for us, because I learned a lot of new stuff. So just thank you just for doing what you're doing. I just love being a part of it.
It's great to have you here. You know, I promise you, you know, I plan on tonight being like a one-hour show. I said I'm just going to kind of ease back into it, you know what I mean, do like a quick show, talk about the bombing, talk about some details, but I didn't even realize it was like so much. I mean, I knew there was a lot, but I felt like we better do it. But, like, I hope you guys have been listening. Share this information. with your friends. Don't be afraid to post these links. Share it with your Facebook friends. Don't hide it. Don't be ashamed of it. There's nothing to be ashamed of in regards to the truth. The stuff you see on the mainstream media, it may be politically correct. It may be popular, you know, to just follow what they say. And it may be unpopular to have your own opinion, your own thoughts. But the truth will never be unpopular. The truth will never be, you know what I'm saying, out of style. This is what we've been, this is what people need to know. You know what I mean? And so I appreciate you guys for listening, man. Like I said, we're going to come back maybe tomorrow. We'll see how it goes. Maybe Friday, but definitely a couple more shows this week. You know, we'll get back to talking about a lot of stuff. And I purposely, you know, I just wanted to get this out of the way first. You know, this deserves its own show. I didn't want to do any advice questions. I didn't want to talk about any topics. We'll do that. Trust me. We're going to get to it. We'll have some classic shows. Believe me, the next live show is going to be an all-time classic. We've got so much to talk about. That's a promise. But really take some time, think about this. And I thank y'all for listening. I'll see y'all later on. Peace.
Are you looking for love out there? Pain is always fun. A great man who will treat you right, make you his sweet bride. Are you coming up empty out there?
Let day don't be your motivation, child, let day
late on toward motivating you, girl. Let date on be your motivation. Try my date on toward come and change.